Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
I'm Jen.
And today we have kind of a different type of episode for you guys. We are doing top 10 Doggett moments.
Doggett!
As that, do you hear that, Jen? That's the sound of half of our listeners tuning out.
No.
No.
Don't reach for that stop button, folks. Please.
Look, whatever you might think about seasons 8 and 9, there's a lot to love about them. And yes. Hopefully tonight, maybe by the end of this episode, you'll agree with us that there is
definitely some
stuff to love about John Doggett, a.k.a. Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, Jen, how about we do our tweets of the week?
He's made outrageous public statements on an internet site.
That wasn't him. That was me. And they're not outrageous.
Okay, tweets of the week. These were in response to our very, very, very exciting conversation with Frank Spotnitz about the wonderful episode Memento Mori. Thanks again to Frank Spotnitz for joining us and sharing his very valuable time with us.
Oh, yes.
We appreciate it. And lots of great responses to that conversation. Thank you, listeners. Recently Spooked says, this was fantastic. Thank you so much for providing such a relaxed and informative chat. It really sounded like friends getting together to gab about other absent pals. Well, thanks, Recently Spooked. That's kind of the vibe we were going for there. And it kind of turned out all right.
Yeah.
We're like buddies with Frank Spotnitz.
I liked that tweet.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. You know what? I was actually commenting. Yeah. You know, we were obviously very nervous to talk to Frank when we talked to him the first time around. And I feel like when we talked to him the second time around, I felt so much more comfortable with it. And so it was nice that a listener picked up on that. So
He's just such a gracious man and just has just a lovely presence about him. I think he's just one of these people that just makes people feel comfortable in his presence. And that's
a gift. So thoughtful. And you can tell he really cares about everything that he's talking about, which is very much appreciated by fans. Yeah. So thank you again, Frank.
Totally, totally. So he's awesome. Recently Spooked also says, I like to pretend that the deleted scenes, outtakes, and bloopers are just daydreams, nightdreams/hallucinations that Mulder, Scully, and sometimes maybe Skinner have experienced. I kind of like that theory from Recently Spooked on that. It's like they're not technically canon, but like maybe we can kind of squeeze them into the universe if we imagine that there's some kind of dream sequence or something. So I love that idea. Erica Deb said, quoting Annie, I think, on this one, props to David and Jillian for wanting to kiss for no reason. All I have to say is thank God for these chaotic co-workers who made us the shippers that we are. But the writers definitely made the right choice by making us wait for the kiss. I agree, Erica Deb, on that. But David and Jillian definitely gave us some fun stuff to keep us going.
It's so much fun to watch all of these deleted scenes, outtakes, all of that stuff. But as far as the story is, definitely the right choice to not include that Memento Mori kiss. Definitely the right choice to include that B, as much as we hate it. It's the right choice. It was so compelling. So they made the right call.
They really do. They often do that more often than not. And in this case, definitely the case.
Yeah.
Ben said, now this is interesting. It seems that story about Darren not writing a script may be the Mandela effect. And Ben says on the X-Files podcast, which is like I had to look at this. This is a Danish X-Files podcast. So it just goes to show X-Files is everywhere and podcasting is everywhere. So shout out to our Danish listeners. A few weeks ago, Darren said apparently that he was never meant to write one. And Ben says that this is an episode of that podcast worth listening to. I have to actually listen to it. I haven't done so yet. I've heard this elsewhere. There's a couple of different sources, I think, on this, that Darren has a different recollection. Because Frank said, and this is not the first time I've heard this version either, that Darren was meant to drop an episode right before Christmas, around that time, and that he didn't, and that so they had to kind of put together Memento Mori very quickly. And I've heard that version from a couple of different sources, but Darren appears to remember it differently, so that's interesting.
I feel like I've heard a similar story with Darren not producing or not coming up with a script in time, like for War of the Coprophages, one of those other seasons, seasons 2 or season 3. So maybe that story is sort of getting misappropriated to season 4. I'm not sure. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it does seem like Blame Darren kind of ends up being the narrative. for a lot of these things. Poor Darren. Well, Darren, look, we are here for you. If you want to set the record straight, please contact us. Let us know. Yeah. Yes.
We're ready. It's, you know, equal time for all sides here.
We are willing.
I mean, it was a long time ago, let's be honest, you know, over, you know, 20 odd years ago. And, you know, while us X-File fans may treasure every second of everything that happened during that time period, these folks do have other things going on in their lives and have had a lot of things happen to them since then. So they may not remember everything in the exact order that it happened. And it may very well be very much a Mandela effect. I like that X-Files reference, Ben.
Let's
get it all out.
I was going to say the Mengele effect because I have actually since 2018 started to call it the Mengele effect, which is itself a Mandela effect. So I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, right? Anytime you ever hear someone talk about the Mengele effect, you can always know, oh, X-Files fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's
love it.
Actually, the way that has kind of become part of the vernacular in a way. So fair enough. I love it. I mean, I love that episode. Mrs. Spooky says, Memento Mori has always been a top fave for me. Yeah, I agree, Mrs. Spooky, on that one. Jilin is even more amazing than usual during the cancer arc. I adore Frank Spotnitz, The Interview, and always Annie and Jen. Thanks, Mrs. Spooky. We adore you too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and total agreement on Memento Mori. It's an awesome episode. Joe says, fascinating to hear that Leonard Betts was a planned episode separate from using it to tease that Scully had cancer. The final showdown between Scully and Leonard is so harrowing that it ended up being the perfect episode for the time. I also so appreciate Frank talking about wanting to do character stuff with MSR since they didn't typically get the chance. That's one of the things I love about mythology episodes. They always seem much more personal. Great points, Joe. Mm-hmm. I especially like that point that you make about how the mythology episodes always did seem more personal. We did get the odd sort of standalone ep that would give us some good juicy character bits, but it did often feel like the major sort of character developments were saved up for the mythology episodes. And I think that's why I looked forward to them the most.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, just like what's happening with the aliens now, which of course I was pretty excited about too. But really it was kind of like, are they going to hold hands or something? Like something exciting is probably going to happen. And so that was always like the exciting thing about mythology for me.
Yeah. And I feel like we've mentioned before that it's not just plot wise or character wise, but it always felt like the stakes were higher when we were watching mythology episodes.
For sure.
So everything, even like the smaller character moments that we get in all of the episodes, felt more important, you know? So I think that was kind of my experience when I would be watching a mythology as opposed to a Monster of the Week, even though I love both for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's just something about an episode that's written with Chris Carter's name on it. And, you know, usually Chris and Frank together for the mythology that, you know, like, OK, we can take this to the bank. This is what, you know, the guys are saying about these characters. Not that, you know, the Monsters of the Week aren't as canon, but sometimes they can just, you know, veer slightly off what we normally expect. So these ones are always, you know, just right on the mark.
Right. And it kind of felt like, obviously, with a room full of different writers, like everyone's going to have a slightly different slant on the characters within those Monsters of the Week, which was always great and interesting and fun to watch. Like you said, with the mythology, you kind of always knew what to expect and you always knew what you were going to get. And I appreciated that consistency. So
they were always so exciting. Monica File fan quoting Frank saying, it is so emotional. Such a love story. Right. Please, Frank, never stop shipping them. Right. Monica File fan. That is so true.
I mean,
Frank Spotnitz, he's such a shipper. Right. I mean, I don't think I quite grasped the degree to which he was a shipper until we had our conversations with him. And he wears it on his sleeve. He's not ashamed. He's throwing out, you know, the love word. He's not pulling any punches. And I love it.
Here's the thing. Why should he? He has said himself that this is not among debate over there. Like, this isn't something that Chris would argue with us now. I mean, people like to make fun of it, but it's not. So it's why shouldn't he wear it on his sleeve? I love it. I love it.
I think it's great. I love it. It makes me feel really happy hearing you talk about that stuff. Izadub said, as always, great insights and information from the lovely Frank Spotnitz. And Izadub quotes Frank saying, to me, it's more romantic when it's not sexual. It's the yearning that makes it so powerful. So true and relatable.
It's the yearning.
Exactly. Yet meanwhile, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson felt compelled by chemical powerful forces to kiss on some takes. Right, Izadub? Izadub Webb also said, I was also delighted to know more about Scully's diary, where she writes for Mulder, and her monologue and the role Chris Carter has played in it and the reasons he wanted it. I'm very fond of Chris Carter's flowerish style, and I value a lot of written words, so I appreciate it very much. That's a very fair opinion, Isdub. I tend not to generally agree with that, but I know some people do love those Chris Carter flowery voiceovers, and that's great.
I agree with it when I have my captions on. Because, like, as we've said before, it's more writerly than than television-esque. So when I have my captions on, which I often do, because I'm getting old, I enjoy it more because I can kind of comprehend what he's saying a little bit better, because it does get kind of, it gets a little bit excessive at times. So.
It's, yeah, very much sounds like it's written for the written word. It's written to be read rather than to be spoken.
Yep.
And so that's always a good thing. I also really liked Isadub's point about how Frank's mention of that it's more romantic because of the yearning, and I am so on board with that point.
Yeah,
100%. Jessica said, lovely to hear Frank again, being so affectionate and positive about a show so long in his past. Sound reason aside, it's gratifying. Nice job interviewing, Annie and Jen. You are good at it. Thanks, Jessica. Oh, that's so sweet.
Thank you, Jessica.
Isn't that nice? Sometimes I kind of afterwards, after I talk to anyone of any import, and especially someone like Frank Spotnitz, I'm like, did I just sound like a total babbling fool? I'm not entirely sure. So I'm so happy to hear that Jessica felt like we did a good job on that. And yeah, it is so great, though, to hear Frank being so positive and affectionate about something that is, like, you know, years and years ago. I can imagine some people in his position being like, you don't really want me to actually talk about the details of something I did 20 odd years ago. Like, I really couldn't give a shit anymore. But he so does.
Yeah.
And he's so sweet about it.
He
and
loves
that,
it.
That warms my heart.
It's just, you just loved his genuine appreciation and affection for the show. I mean, it's amazing. I love it.
It's so great. It's just like, you know, he's like us, you know, he loves the show all these years later. It just sticks with you, whether you're Frank Spotnitz or you're X-Files like us. And that's so awesome.
Yep.
Kathy G says, well, now you've gone and done it. I will be watching Memento Mori on repeat for the foreseeable future. Excellent. Great episode, and congrats on 100. Yeah, we hit 100 episodes.
We did 100. We didn't even have a party, Jen. We need to have a virtual something.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think interviewing Frank Spotnitz just was celebration enough, probably.
It so that definitely
just
was.
That was just like coincidence, right? That
it we was
just happened
totally
to wind up with
coincidence. And we actually have been, and we said this before, we've had to hold on to this one for several episodes because we had to drop it in order of the mythology. And that is where it happened to fall on our 100th episode, which was completely unplanned and amazing. It's an X-File.
It is an X-File. Anything could have wound up being that 100th episode. Like, it might, for example, have wound up being like the top 10 dog at moments like tonight.
Yeah.
But which would have been still great.
Yeah. But
maybe not quite as, you know, like, momentous.
I'm glad it turned out the way that it did.
Really glad that turned out the way it did. So thank you, Kathy G. Kathy also says, I can't stop thinking about this interview. I love that we heard insights I've never heard before, and considering how obsessively I've rewatched Memento Mori and devoured everything I could find about it over the past several years, that's saying something. Thank you so much. Yeah, so true, Kathy G. I mean, there was, you know, same, because there were things that I heard that I'm like, really? I don't think I've ever heard that before. And it's just, isn't it great to be learning stuff all these years later? I love it.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Kathy is an authority on this. If she's saying that there's stuff she didn't know, I believe her.
Absolutely. If we can bring new stuff to the plate for Kathy, then it's definitely something that's new. So that's a great, great measurement in terms of getting some great new content out there. I mean, new X-Files content on Memento Mori in 2021? Yes, please.
Yep.
And Jody said, listening to this fabulous episode on my way to and from work today, and maybe a little bit during work too. Mm-hmm. I hear you, Jody. My only question, per Manum episode discussion with Frank Spotnitz, when? Hmm. Thanks for yet another wonderful episode, and congratulations on the big 100. Thank you, Jody. We'll see what we can do in terms of getting Frank back to talk per Manum and more.
We will work our hardest.
We're working on it. We are always working on it. Mrs. Spooky also said, congrats, Annie and Jen, on your 100th ep. My last year and a half has been hard. Finding your pod and the X-Files Twitter fandom has helped me cope and cheer up. Thank you, ladies, and your awesome guests for this pod. Thank you, Mrs. Spooky, for sharing that. And, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening to that right now saying, I hear you, because I mean, the last year and a half has been hard for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Some of them more obvious than others. And I mean, speaking for myself, doing this podcast has kind of helped me to cope for the last year and a half with all the craziness happening in the world, because it's just kind of been a nice sort of escape from all the troubles that sometimes surround us. And it's just a nice little bit of consistency. And I enjoy that. And I enjoy the fact that I have a chance to talk about the X-Files and that folks are still enthusiastic about it. So thank you, Mrs. Spooky, and thank you to listeners, and thank you, Annie, for making this still happen, because it's definitely been very healthy for me.
Yeah, same. It's just been super enjoyable. I've been loving doing this, and I'm really glad that our listenership has not only remained with us, but continues to grow. I love that. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It just makes me so happy for us, first and foremost, but for the X-Files also, because you know, it's always awesome to see the X-Files growing all the time and people still feeling enthusiastic about it all these years later. And yeah, it, you know, the X-Files fandom is great, and fandoms can be a great source of support and enthusiasm in your life when things are a little rough. And God knows that fandoms have been that for me over the years. So I totally get where you're coming from, Mrs. Spooky, and I'm glad that you have found that and that many of our listeners probably agree with that.
Yep.
So thanks to everyone for your thoughts on our a really fun conversation with Frank. Thanks again to Frank and to his people for making that happen. And we look forward to hearing more from you guys in future on everything X-Files related. Tweet at us anytime at XFD Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you on Twitter.
Mulder, the internet is not good for you.
Well, Jen, today we are going to talk about our top 10 favorite Doggett moments.
John Doggett.
Which is funny, and I want to hear about your journey with John Doggett. because you might have a different one than me. So how about you let the listeners know your experience and your arc, if there is one, shall we say, with Mr. John Doggett, Agent John Doggett.
Between real person fic, Jen, and the story arc of John Doggett. I suspect that my journey with John Doggett is not dissimilar to a lot of viewers. Certainly at the time, it was very much shared by a lot of viewers, which was that I didn't like him at all. I didn't like hate him like, oh, I hate that guy. It was just more like, no, please, I don't. No, I'm not interested. Get off my screen. And as we know, he was not introduced in such a fashion as to be beloved by the viewers, which apparently was deliberate on the part of Chris Carter to kind of lean into the idea that viewers weren't going to really take to him because where's my Mulder? So they kind of leaned into the idea of that, you know, maybe he's not a super likable guy, and boy, howdy, they succeeded and just didn't care for him at all. I mean, I didn't hate him, but just didn't like him. And honestly, like barely even noticed him most of the time. Like, and whenever he's on screen with Scully, I was just looking at Scully. I was just like, Doggett didn't even like exist for me as a character, except for me to just sort of idly wonder when I was ever going to see Mulder again and I could get rid of this guy. So yeah, he had a tough road to hoe, and I obviously had an issue with him just because of who he was and what was happening with, you know, anyone that's going to come in when Mulder goes out is going to have a hard time. And he had a hard time. So didn't love him then. Hated his accent. Still do, to be honest. Don't know what that accent is that he's trying to do. That still bugs me. Mulder. What is that? So anyway, separate issue. But it really bugged me. But having said that, I've come a long way in terms of how I feel about season 8. In general, because didn't have any interest in it particularly when it aired, but I've come to really like it to the point where it's one of my favorite seasons now. And having seen where Doggett goes makes me like him better in the early episodes. So seeing that, you know, he becomes a more appealing character to me as season 8 and season 9 unfolds. And so then when I look back at sort of early season 8, I can take him a lot more. I don't know if I'm ever going to really love him. But I gotta say, sort of preparing for tonight's episode, going through sort of my favorite Doggett moments, did remind him, you know what? He was a really good guy, and he was a really good character, actually. And I think I may have kind of not given him enough credit, even now. So, you know, I've gradually come to like him better over the years, but I think that there's still sort of room for improvement in my relationship with Doggett. And I think it's happening. And I think that our conversation tonight, I think, will help to shed light on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. None of what you just said surprises me. Like you said, I think that was probably a lot of people's journey with Doggett. And like you said, I mean, I think they set him up deliberately to let us know, hey, we get it. Y'all are pissed that Mulder's not here. You're just as pissed as Scully is. And we get it. We're going to let you ride this train with us. And I agree with also what you said about whoever they were going to cast in this part had a very difficult uphill battle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible to come in and essentially replace Mulder. And I know that, like, that wasn't their intent, because they knew he would be coming back. But still, for all intents and purposes, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, when season 8 and 9 are all over and everything's said and done, I have to stand back, view this character as just, what did this character do? How was he played? And I think that Robert Patrick did an admirable job. He did a great job with something that was impossible. Like,
yeah.
I don't know who would have taken this job. Like, yeah, I would love to know all of the conversations he had in his own head, or with his agent, or with his friends, or whatever. Like, what do I do? Do I take this part? No matter what I do, people are going to hate me. Like, you know?
Exactly.
It's like that character that comes, any character that comes, like, in between, like, your ship. Like,
yeah.
Any character that comes on, you're automatically going to be hated. And I don't think that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you came at this from a slightly different angle than me, because I started watching in the middle of season 8, near the end of season 8, actually. But were you ever concerned that they were going to attempt something like that? That they were going to try and, like, force some Doggett Scully ship on the viewers? Because to their credit, they never did that. And they never really made you worry that that was even a possibility, as far as I'm concerned. And so that's kind of why his presence didn't bother me as much as some of these other characters that are deliberately brought in to, like, disrupt a ship. I never felt that with Doggett. So I think that helped me like him better.
And that would have been a really easy choice for them to make. And a lot of shows would have done that, to just amp up the drama.
Yep.
And thank God they didn't, because that would have killed me. And I don't remember being particularly concerned. Certainly, if I was, it was dispelled very quickly, because they made it clear from the get-go that not so much that they hated each other, because that can always lead to the loving later on, you know, but that there was just a complete absence of romance there.
Yeah.
There
was no way in for Doggett, because the way they wrote Scully in season 8 was Mulder, 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 Mulder. That is focus.
It never seemed a concern for me. I do recall, in terms of how I felt going into it before the show even started, I'll always remember a quote from Chris Carter. Chris, you know, he's not always the best what he says to me, to the members of the media.
I'm terrified.
I remember him when he was describing what Doggett was going to be like, saying, he's going to be a man's man. And I was like, oh, God, just give me strength. I just did not like the sound of that. Like, he's going to be some macho jerk. And so that kind of set my teeth on edge a bit.
Yeah. Well,
It felt like a dig at Mulder as well at the same time, a little bit to me.
And again, I don't necessarily think it is, because we all know that that's not Mulder. That's like that he's been carefully cultivated to not be that. By Chris Carter. So, and obviously David, but I mean, that character is not a man's man, as what you would say. And I think that it's a bad way to say it. I think Chris Carter's forte is poor choice of language, but I think that when he says really that, is. He's essentially saying this is going to be a foil to Mulder. Like, and he's right. He was a foil.
He's right.
So, yeah.
I just, you know, it's just that language really just put me on edge, I have to say.
Yeah, a lot of that language does put me on edge.
Yeah.
I have to say.
It was, you know, very 90s. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Take it with a grain of salt, but.
Of course.
And again, it's true.
Probably,
it's true.
It's not wrong. Mm-hmm. And it just, but it did kind of put me in like a negative frame of mind before I even met him. So. It was, he had the deck stacked against him. Congratulations, Chris Carter. You made me hate your character. Not because you wanted me to. That part was actually a mistake. So,
No,
that kind of, that bugged me for a long time because I'm like, I'm just waiting for the macho jerk shit to come out. And of course, it never does.
No, because I think, and I don't know if that's a great deal of that is the way that Robert Patrick played this character. Mm. He is definitely like this macho guy, but he's written that way. He's not necessarily acted that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Patrick was, I think, really well cast for the role.
Yes.
Because, and we'll sort of explore this as we talk about our moments, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But I think he has a really good way of seeming very sort of tough and invincible, but also bringing just a hint of vulnerability and sort of sweetness at the same time, and
a gentleness.
He's really good at that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And it made Doggett a lot more appealing than he might have been otherwise, because I can imagine he wouldn't necessarily have been played that way by some other actors. He might have just been, you know, I'm a Marine, and that's about it.
Right. And then there wouldn't have been any dimension to him. And they did a really good job giving dimension to Doggett. Where they failed at doing that for Monica, but we will discuss that on probably a future episode.
But excellent point.
But very briefly, most of the listeners probably know my journey was slightly different. I came in the middle of season 8, so I was not programmed to hate Doggett. This was just kind of the situation I was thrown into. And so I didn't have that sort of prejudice that I think a lot of people came into, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think it was warranted, but I just didn't have that going in, and so I didn't have that reaction to Doggett. I definitely was like, because I came in at I think at the end of This Is Not Happening, Dead Alive was like my first major episode, and so Mulder was back, and so I was not sitting through that long slog of Mulderlessness. You know, resenting Doggett. Like, that's not what I was doing. I mean, I did that in season 9, let's be real. But for a different reason and nothing to do with Doggett's character, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my journey. So I've kind of always appreciated and liked Doggett.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you came in at, like, really a prime time to really take Doggett at face value and for him to have an opportunity to make, like, a good first impression on you.
Yeah.
And not many others had that opportunity. So I think that was great that that's a perfect time to get to know Doggett. And so that was great.
It's interesting though, how just by the nature of when I actually began watching the show, it completely altered my perspective on a huge bone of contention with many, with many fans. And I find that just very fascinating.
Yeah. And really, and the fact that there is such a discrepancy, even between you and I, in terms of how we view Doggett to this day for me, just demonstrates how it wasn't necessarily about Doggett the character or Robert Patrick the actor, because we both have watched the same episodes and seen the same things, and yet we still kind of walk away with this different feeling. And the feeling is based entirely on what our perspective was, not necessarily on how things were presented to us.
Right. And like you said, a lot of those things stick with you from the moment that you first had those feelings. So, and it's hard to shake those, especially particularly for you, as you've mentioned before. So I completely get it. I understand and I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people would share your opinion. More people, I'm sure, agree with you on this one than me for once. So
we'll see.
You're not coming in. I'm the one here coming in with the wacky, offbeat. I don't like bad blood opinion. So do you think I could bring that up in every episode? Because I planned.
I was almost going to bring it up, and then I thought maybe I won't this time. But
too late.
It came up anyway somehow.
Too late.
So yes. I have a very mainstream fandom opinion for once. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
But we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure that there's going to be lots of folks that agree with you, too. And you know, in the course of our conversation, maybe we'll convince some people to give Doggett a break. I'm sure that you'll be able to speak more passionately on that point than I will.
Okay. Well, it remains to be seen how passionate I will be. But very above average is where I'm at.
Okay. And that's
Apollo agrees. If you hear him, he's agreeing with me.
Thank you, Apollo.
Yeah,
he looks very excited. His tail is just going right now. He's a Doggett fan. I mean, is it because he's a dog? I don't know.
He heard me say Doggett, and Doggett, he got very excited. Very excited.
Like there's a connection. So that's great.
Love it.
Nice. All right. Would you like to start our top 10?
I will. But before I do, I wonder what the sort of the etymology, is that the right word, of the name Doggett, like, is it does it come from like dogged, like you're doggedly?
I've kind of thought that.
I've thought that in the past.
That was always my theory.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't. That's just me and my fan theory. I don't know if there's a truth or to that. Yeah. Anything.
But yeah, because and he is dogged. I mean, that's not a bad word for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a.
He's more stubborn than Scully. I mean,
he is. Yeah, he is. And he's very stubborn and very and doggedly determined as well. You know, he's nothing will put him off once he makes up his mind. So it does somehow really suit him, doesn't it? I think like just Doggett. It's a great name. I got to say,
it is a good name. It is a good name. John
Doggett. Well chosen. John Doggett.
Everything about him. Like you said, Robert Patrick suits this character. This name suits this character. I know you hate it, but I think the accent suits the character. I think everything about it, like it's just love him or hate him. That's this character. He's very well realized. Yeah. So, all right, let's get going without any further ado.
Let's hear your number 10, Annie.
I will start us off tonight. My number 10 is from the season 8, part two-parter, the second part of the two-parter, Without. And it's at the very, very end. This is one of the scenes I think of most often when I think about Doggett and that gentleness that we were talking about. It's the scene at the very end when Scully has just been attacked and he, you know, kind of picks her up and he holds her in there. You know, a lot of people give this moment shit because they're like, oh, are they trying to do the Mulder thing where Mulder picks up Scully and he comforts her? And I don't see it that way. Like, I really don't. I feel like this is an important moment for the two of them and their partnership in this opening episode to sort of give Doggett this moment to appreciate the reality of his situation and to be like, okay, I can make fun of this all I want, but this is where I'm at. I am on the X-Files. This is my partner. She's just been hurt. Shit just got real. And I love the fact they gave Robert Patrick a nice moment to kind of, they opened that moment up. He kind of like looked off and he had just like a really nice expression on his face where he was just like absorbing all the things that I just said. And I just think it's a really lovely moment. And Jillian's great in it. She just kind of breaks down. She feels so utterly alone at this point. Like even Skinner has just pissed her off, even though she knows Skinner is on her side. And I'm not like a huge fan of this two-parter, but it does sort of set up the new dynamic of Scully and Doggett really well. And that's my number 10. I just really like that moment. I think it's a really nice moment.
Nice. It's a great choice. Unlike yourself, I love that two-parter, actually. And I love that moment, too. It's great. I suspect I probably hated it at the time because it's like, get your hands off my Scully. Yeah. But I don't really remember exactly. But looking at it now, there's such a difference in terms of how he holds Scully compared to how Mulder would have.
Yeah.
He does it in a very sort of respectful way.
He gives me like the big brother vibe. He's like a big brother vibe. And I think he's like that for the entire rest of the series with Scully. Yeah. Yeah. Regardless of when they try and sort of shove the fact that, oh, maybe Doggett has a crush on Scully. They kind of maybe say that a couple times. I kind of ignore those because I'm like, well, everyone has a crush on Scully, so whatever.
Yeah, truly.
But I've always gotten the super protective big brother vibe from him. Mm. And it started here. So
absolutely. That's there really to me is just like nothing sexual going on between them at all.
No.
Even when they're like, you know, in physical contact like that. And that's a great sort of example. And you're right. Robert Patrick does a beautiful job. With his sort of facial expressions and just like, he's just like shaken by this whole situation. And he's like, You can see his concern for Scully and just like, what the hell have I gotten myself into? Mm-hmm. And it's a great moment. It is a great, great moment. So I'm really glad you picked that one.
All right.
Good
Jen.
Choice.
Thank you.
Is it time for my number 10?
It is.
My number 10, him, speaking of that two-parter, is from Within, the first of that two-parter. Interestingly enough, a moment that I really would have hated at the time, definitely. I remember hating it at the time, but now have come to kind of enjoy it on a different level. And that is our introduction to Doggett when Scully throws water in his face because he's being an ass to her. I mean, if I was making up a list of, you know, the 10 most hated Doggett moments, that's probably on it too. But now I look at it and knowing what I know about what Doggett turns out to be, I look at it very differently. And now it's just kind of like, you know, I mean, it's memorable, that's for sure. And he just looks kind of bemused by the whole thing. It's his reaction that mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy, that he's just kind of like, just I'm almost getting this feeling of, well, I deserved that. And he just kind of like,
that's funny because I read the scene a little differently. Finish.
Do
but
you?
Yeah. Finish what
I
you're
feel like
say,
he's sorry. Just kind of like, he just takes it and he's just kind of like, well, okay, so be it. I kind of asked for that. And I kind of like the fact that he doesn't like react particularly. He's not like ticked off. He's just kind of like, well, I'll be damned. I just got water thrown in my face. I guess I'll know better next time when I'm dealing with Agent Scully. So I actually really actually like it now. And at the time despised him and was 100% on Scully's time because he was being an ass. But he becomes so much less of an ass over the course of that two-parter that I totally forgive him now.
Okay. And I also love this moment, by the way. And it came very close to making my list.
Oh, good.
I read this a little differently. And the reason I read it differently is because Doggett is never an ass like this to Scully again. This is the only
right.
time that we see this. And
yes.
so my little headcanon or fan theory is mm-hmm. that he is doing this deliberately. That is the
yes.
reaction that he wanted.
Right.
He was trying to confirm, essentially, that Scully maybe has some sort of romantic thing going on with Mulder. There's more to this story than is above the tape, so to speak. That
yeah.
is,
yeah.
you know, he wants to get to the heart of the matter right off the bat when they don't know each other. He wants her fresh initial reaction. So he's doing all this to get a rise out of her. So when that water goes into his face, that reaction to me is, well, prove myself right. That was my confirmation. And that is that look on his face, is he's pleased with himself because he answered his question. And I think that's further confirmed later in the episode when he finds her at his apartment. And he kind of mm-hmm. smarmily is like, oh, I was just here to feed the fish. Like, he knows. He knows what's going on.
He so knows.
Yeah. And I think that scene at the beginning is him figuring it out. What if I say this shit? How's she going to react? And if mm-hmm, that's, mm-hmm. I am going to get more information from her reaction than I ever would if I straight up asked her in an interrogation. And that is why I love that. That is Doggett being an investigator.
Yeah, yeah.
He's being bad cop here. And I actually think it's great. I think it's fantastic. And again,
that's true.
Only with some sort of hindsight do I get that. Do I kind of see that? But I can see it now because, like I said, we do not see him treat her like that ever again. So, yeah, great pick.
Yeah, I think that's a great take on it, too. I really like that.
Thanks.
I mean, certainly looking back on it, we can tell that this was all an act, essentially, on his part. But we don't know that at the time. I mean, to introduce a character and have him be a total jerk in his first scene to our beloved Scully, like, man, it was always going to be hard to overcome that. That was really going a little too hard, maybe, on the it's okay if you hate Doggett, because, man, he was such a jerk to her. But I totally agree with you that it was like an investigative technique. He's a savvy guy, is Doggett. He knows how to get things out of people.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a clever move, but man, it did a lot of damage to how people felt about him watching the show. That's for sure. That's what he did. Cause man, it was very cathartic when Scully threw that water in his face. Cause man, we all wanted to punch him at that point. And then it was a tough hill to climb after that for him to gain the audience's trust, because he was such a jerk at the beginning. And as we do realize eventually that that's not really him.
Yeah.
But we have to go through quite a lot to really believe that.
I think that by the end of this two-parter, where we are hopefully more on Doggett's side, I think he goes through a nice arc in this Within Without. I think he really
does.
And I think Scully does with him as well. And I don't think like the Scully Doggett partnership is sort of fully solidified until, like, I would say maybe Roadrunners. That's probably when that happens. Mm-hmm. But this is a really good start. And I think that you are in it thinking the whole time, like, is this going to be an adversary? Like, is this person, we're set up to think this is her new partner, but is he going to be an obstacle rather than, is he going to be a hindrance rather than a help to us getting Mulder back? And I think you're really kind of concerned about that for this first whole episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the second one, you start to see him leveling with her. Like, look, I'm just trying to solve this. Like, I'm just trying to solve this like you. And you can kind of see it from his perspective. Like, he's not as close to this as Scully. He's coming at it like an investigator. And so you kind of have to respect that. And I think they do a really good job. Like I said, I think that this is a good two-parter in terms of setting up these characters. I don't necessarily enjoy rewatching it, but I think they're good episodes.
I enjoy rewatching it immensely. Yeah. I love all the ooh-ah music. You know how I feel about that.
And you know how I feel about that.
There's so much of it in that two-parter.
Yeah, maybe you solved it.
That explains it. That's why you don't care for it, and I love it. So.
I think, I'm subconsciously just staying away from the AIA music. So
it all comes down to how you feel about that music, I think.
And, you're right.
And I just love it. So let's move on to your number nine,
Let's do it. My number nine, it's so funny because I feel like this is the only list that we're ever going to be talking about that has like a lot of these episode titles on it, because I'm just like, why would any of these episodes be on?
A lot of these episodes we will never speak of again. And some of them, even some of our, you know,
came up on our worst list. Yeah.
Well, some of them. And some of our, you're like, serious X-File listeners might listen to this and be like, fuck, is that the X-Files episode?
I don't remember. Well,
because God knows I struggle with anything from season nine. I'm like, God, is that an X-Files episode? So this is going to be a fun sort of trip down, not necessarily memory lane, but maybe just reviving people's recollections of season nine. Really? And that there are some definite worthwhile moments from eight and nine.
Yeah. Well, this one is from season eight, The Gift. Your favorite one, Jen. Favorite episode.
God.
But we don't need we do not even need to discuss that which shall not be named.
We have discussed, during our talk, if anyone wants to hear a lengthy discussion of how much I dislike The Gift, we talked about it a lot in our top 10 grossest moments. So that's a good one. If you haven't heard that one, you gotta hear that one.
I'm sure we've talked about it on underrated episodes too, because it made my underrated list and you thought I was on crack, but I think both of us thought the other was on crack a lot
This has come up a couple of times now, so I'm not gonna give you a hard time about it, but hear what part of that episode you enjoyed with Doggett.
Okay, the part of this episode that I really enjoyed, because we didn't get a lot of it, was when Doggett and Skinner, first of all, love Doggett and Skinner together, and there's a lot of that in this episode, call up the gunman on a video chat. It's such a good scene because, my favorite part of it is like one of the first things Doggett says is, "You are in pants, Langley." And it is such a good line because it establishes this familiarity that we haven't seen. And it makes me think, okay, well, Doggett, I mean, we saw him meet them in an earlier episode. I don't remember which one it was. Maybe it was Patience. I don't know. One of those really early season eight ones I think we saw. And so we know that he's met them. But this implies that maybe Doggett has utilized the gunmen and been in contact with them. So I like that. And I just think this whole little scene is just, it's a great little scene. And then otherwise, you know, there's a lot of dullness in this episode. But like, it's just a lovely little highlight. I love the gunmen interacting with Skinner and Doggett. And they're helping them with the case. And you were in pants, Langley, and that's my number nine.
I love it. I love that moment. I had forgotten that line, actually, because, you know, I'm not crazy about that episode, but that is a great line, actually. And you're right. There is just this kind of endearing familiarity between Doggett and the gunman that we don't really see otherwise, and we don't necessarily see what leads up to that sort of relationship that they have. They're quite sort of, you know, friendly and sort of fun loving with him as well, and it's quite sweet. I mean, the lone gunmen bring out the best in everybody, they don't do. They? You put them in a scene, and all characters become more enjoyable.
Yep.
And yeah, it's we don't actually get to see Doggett make that many jokes. He's not a joke a minute guy the way Mulder is.
Yeah, he doesn't. He gets some great one-liners, but not in the way that Mulder did. He's just not that guy. And
he's
so
he's not that guy. Yeah. And it makes it all the more sort of surprising to hear him say that this whole are you wearing pants slang?
Like, yeah.
And he does it very deadpan.
Yeah.
And it's a
serious
dogged
question. It's like, yeah, I'm being funny, but I am asking you a serious question. And then that's my favorite Doggett part, but I do love how Langley's like, yeah. Yeah, and then he clearly gets up to go put pants on, and then you see him coming in, putting the pants on. Yeah, it's just a cute little
not wearing pants.
Yeah.
So it is like it comes out of nowhere in that episode. It is just like a very fun little sort of addition to the episode, and yeah, that's actually very sort of funny. And there aren't a lot of funny Doggett moments, and so I'm really glad that you remembered that one.
Yeah. Well, what's your number 9?
My number 9, I'm going right back to Within, since we're talking about it anyway. I promise not all of my top 10 are going to be moments from Within. This is the only other one. But it kind of fits in with what we were saying in terms of Doggett's arc through that two-parter. And specifically the moment that I like, this other moment from Within that I like, it's when, I think it's the first conversation between Doggett and Kirsch. And, you know, Kirsch is all like, you know, hey, we're kind of both military guys. We're both on the same side. This is all very cool. You're doing an awesome job. And then Doggett is suddenly we see him being a little skeptical about what's exactly going on here. And he, you know, wondering, is someone else involved in this investigation? Is there someone acting under orders from another office? And Doggett's very sort of, there's just a little tiny hint of a standoff with Kirsch. He's just, you know, he's being just, you know, kind of a little ballsy with him, kind of being like, I know there's something going on here and I'm not going to say it out loud, but I have a suspicion of what's going on and I'm not letting you get away with too much here. And, you know, Kirsch is all like, you know, just blowing smoke up his ass. You've got a chance to shine, blah, blah, blah. And you can tell Doggett's not buying it. And I really like that moment because for me, it's like the first moment where it's like, okay, phew, relief. Doggett is going to be on the right side here. He's not there to be Kirsch's errand boy or something like that. He's not necessarily going to toe the line. And this is only like, you know, halfway through the first episode. I kind of forgot how soon we started to see signs that Doggett was willing to stand up to authority for what's right. And so that's kind of a key moment for me in terms of saying, all right, I think I like this Doggett guy. We as viewers can trust that he's going to do the right thing. And so that's why that's my number 9.
I think that's a really good pick. I actually have some Doggett Kirsch moments on my list, too, because I really love the way those two actors play together.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy watching Doggett and Kirsch more than I enjoy watching Mulder and Kirsch or Scully and Kirsch, which is, you know, not saying much, I guess, because it's not like they have tons of scenes with Kirsch. But I think of all of them, Doggett's really the only one that I'm like, I really believe is holding his own in that room with Kirsch all the time.
Yeah.
And you're right. I love how early this happens. Like you said, we needed a moment like this very early for us to trust Doggett. And I think seeing his dynamic with Kirsch and the way it evolves especially over season 8 into season 9, I think is great. And so, I think that's a really great moment that you picked.
Nice. Yeah, I totally agree about what you're saying about the two actors, too. They're so great together. And you're right. There's a certain sort of adversarial chemistry between them that isn't the same when it's with Mulder or Scully or even Skinner. There's just something about Doggett has Kirsch's number in a way that no one else quite does, I think.
Yep.
and you know it, and Kirsch knows it. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it always interesting whenever they're together. And it's always about what's unsaid, because everything is always very polite, very professional, but there's so much going on underneath the surface with those two guys all the time, which I love.
Yeah. At the same time, I feel like they could have had a scene where Doggett just says, "Kiss my ass," and walks out of the room, and I would completely believe it, you know?
Yeah.
That he would say that, because
yeah,
that's essentially the veiled sort of subtext of every scene he has with Kirsch. It's like
pretty much that is the unspoken ending of every scene.
Yeah, which I love. So that's a great one.
Because I mean, we all hate Kirsch, so it's nice. It's a good way to get the viewers on Doggett's side, is to have him go up against Kirsch. So
yeah,
that was a good move, and I love that scene, and I love any time they're together, those two.
It's a good one.
All right, what is your number 8?
All right, my number 8 is from the season 9 episode Lord of the Flies, another one that would probably never make any other list. But
yeah,
I think Doggett is really well written in this episode. I think he's kind of funny. And my favorite thing about this is that he makes this joke. It's like, he makes it pretty early in the episode where he goes, "I think I just solved this case. This kid had crap for brains and the flies couldn't resist." Okay, which is, it's a funny line, but that's not even the funniest part. And they never do this on TV shows, but they loved this joke so much. And I believe that, like, Doggett loved his little joke so much that he says it again later in the episode. He literally says, "I've said it before and I'll say it again. The whole reason this case is attracting flies is because somebody's full of crap." And I mean, I want to be like, "Doggett, you said that already." You know, I don't know if it landed, but he's like, "I am making damn sure that this joke about crap for brains lands because I am funny, you motherfuckers." I love it. I think it's so funny. He's so proud of his little joke that he has to say it twice. And it's just something silly that when that little side of Doggett comes out, the sort of playful side, that's like, he's like, "Yeah, look at me. I'm making jokes. I'm good." It just makes me laugh and it makes me smile. And I mean, in an otherwise really crappy episode, even though Aaron Paul is in it, which breaks my heart, I love that. And I love Doggett saying his little crap joke and just being so proud of it. And so that's my number 8.
I think that your amusement at the joke is more funny than the actual joke.
Right.
And just the whole, like you say, it's just like, I mean, let's be honest. We all know people that will tell the same joke over and over again in the hopes that eventually someone's going to laugh at it.
Yeah.
And I do, thank God, at least he acknowledges that he has said it before. Otherwise, it would just look like really bad writing or bad editing that they've got the same joke twice.
Yeah.
But no, he actually admits, "Hey, I've told this joke before. I'm telling it again. Damn it. It's a good one."
It turns something that could have been very stupid into something that's funny, because it makes it a character moment, I think. Like, he's like, no one's listening to me, but I'm over here making my jokes. Like, it's just funny. I love it.
It's cute. And I think he says it to Reyes both times, too, doesn't he? It's like, it's not even a different audience.
He's like, it's showing off for her. It's like, he's like, hey, I'm funny. See?
Yeah. Season 9 Doggett is a little bit more chill than season 8 Doggett.
I would agree with that.
A few more fun things like that.
Yeah.
So that's a good example of season 9 Doggett, actually. So
yes.
I'm glad I definitely would never have remembered that. So I'm really glad you mentioned it, because I watched it tonight, and I must say I laughed right out loud at just the pure silliness of the whole thing. It's hilarious and dumb and sweet. So
yeah,
it's a good choice.
Love it.
All right, on to my number 8.
Yep.
The episode John Doe, which I know is not really a favorite of yours, and probably not really a favorite of anyone's. Well, maybe somebody's. Hey, it's on my top 10 list, so obviously I see something good in it.
I'm making faces.
And I know. The something good that I see in it is purely how hot Doggett looks in this episode.
I can't disagree.
Especially... Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Especially like in like the first half or so when he's wearing that white t-shirt.
Like the white t-shirt.
T-shirt.
Yep.
And jeans.
Yep.
And he's all scruffy and like sort of sweaty and disheveled. And he's got like a little bit of stubble too. That is a good look on him, because that is so different. We don't get to see Hot Dog it very often. No. It's a rare sight. Usually he's very buttoned down. He's wearing his suit. He's got his shit together. And so seeing him all kind of like unwound a bit, it's really quite enjoyable. And I mean, we don't get to see how well built that man is when he's wearing the suits. But in that T-shirt, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a great episode? No, it is not. But do I care? No, I'm just looking at Doggett the whole time being like, wow, how did I never notice before how hot he is? So that's enough for John Doe to be my number eight.
You know, we love the eye candy on this podcast. I have absolutely no judgment. And I came very, very close to picking that, but I have another very similar one on my list. So I left all right. it off. But I would watch this episode happily on mute. It's very pretty to look at. And I mean, it's unfortunate because right? this is a Vince Gilligan episode. I know we talked about this before. It's definitely got the Breaking Bad vibe. Mm-hmm. But this brings me to my point is I'm going to credit director Michelle MacLaren. We talk about the male gaze. Hey, what's wrong with a female gaze, right?
That's like, right.
The
that's
one
right.
episode in this entire season that's directed by a woman, we got Doggett looking fine. And I don't have a problem with that. Agreed.
I don't think
completely.
It's a coincidence.
Thank you, Michelle MacLaren. And thank you, Robert Patrick, for looking fine. I agree.
All of the above. It is actually quite a well-directed episode. Yeah. I find it visually quite sort
very
of interesting
pleasing.
To watch.
Visually pleasing. Yeah. Like and, I said, I'll watch it on mute.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is really the best way to watch it, I think, because it is just, you know, enjoyable to look at and, you know, partly for Robert Patrick, but partly because it's just a well-directed episode. So I heartily recommend John Doe on mute. Maybe I'll put it in like my top 10 of X-Files episodes to watch on mute. That one is very enjoyable.
Okay.
Perhaps more enjoyable on mute than not.
That would be a really interesting top 10 list.
That would be an interesting top
10 best episodes to watch on mute. Wow. That would be an interesting one.
That one is definitely one.
All right. Well, to kind of.
I've already started.
I love it. You already have one for your list.
I'm good to go. Just nine more.
Oh my God. Love it.
All right. What is your number seven?
Okay. My number seven is actually will be perfectly to follow that one because my number seven is actually Viennin, which as an episode, I don't really appreciate, but I do appreciate Mulder and Doggett just, you know, walking around on an oil rig with like T-shirts or whatever they're wearing. And I have to say, I can't believe that I'm saying this, but at certain points in this episode, I think Doggett looks better than Mulder in terms of his clothing. In terms of his clothing, he is dressed better than Mulder. Mulder is wearing this sort of long sleeve, like Henley shirt or something, and these ill-fitting pants that I don't know what it is. But Doggett has this like black button down that's like rolled halfway up, like the way Mulder used to wear his. It's like a black button down, and he's got like jeans on, but they're kind of like dark jeans, and he's looking good. I'm watching them both walk around, and I'm like, you know, Doggett won the catwalk here. He looks better. He's dressed better. I mean, I will never ever say that he's prettier than Mulder because I just don't think that's possible. No. He's far too manly man. but I do think that when I'm watching them walk around on this oil rig, that I think Doggett is better dressed and just comes across as looking good. Looking good, Doggett. So, hey, you know, if you can sort of outshine David Duchovny in any moment, then bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point all around. I almost kind of wonder sometimes if that was somehow a deliberate choice from the costuming department to make Doggett look hotter than Mulder so that he could hold his own.
Yes.
So that the audience would at least be vaguely interested in Doggett's presence in the episode and not just be staring at Mulder the whole time.
Well, here's the thing. It makes no sense that Mulder's wearing like a long sleeve shirt. I guarantee you he was in a gray T-shirt. He was in the standard gray T-shirt of the truth. And they said that needs to come off because if Mulder is running around on an oil rig in the gray T-shirt of the truth, busting his pecs out, no one is going to be looking at Doggett. And so we need to extend those sleeves, give it a little bit of more of an ill-fitting look, and bam, now they're kind of back on the same level. And if anything, Doggett has now risen above. So as much as I would have loved to see Mulder in the gray T-shirt of the truth running around, I feel happy for Doggett that he was able to shine here. So well done. Well done, costume department.
I can't stop laughing at the phrase gray t-shirt of the truth.
Oh, I will always call it that.
It's like almost like, you know, the church of the gray t-shirt of the truth.
Yes.
It just sounds like some kind of like
I attend
object.
Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. And as soon as you said that's got to come off, it just like I couldn't think of anything else at that point.
Me too. I'm sorry.
After that. But I think we're onto something. I think this was an effort to try to even things up a little bit and give Doggett a fighting chance in the episode. And the sleeve rolling up definitely is enjoyable for me. Mm-hmm. And I really like that aspect of that costuming. And yeah, he does look really good. He looks good in black. Good color on
him. I enjoy him in the black. It was a good
great
choice.
Great outfit. Yeah, great outfit all the way around. And I actually do kind of like that episode. And I just kind of like to see, I think Mulder, I just want Mulder and Doggett to get along.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want my two dads fighting all the time.
I
want them to get along. And so they kind of have to work together. And so I kind of like that about this episode. So pretty to look at. And I would not necessarily suggest that you have to watch that one on mute. You can even actually enjoy the dialogue as well.
Yeah, I think it's not a bad episode. It's just, you know, some season eights is just... Season 8. I don't know. But yeah.
It's not super memorable.
Yeah, and it's not, but it's not bad. It's very middle of the road. Worthwhile, I should say.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, Jen, you're up to number 7 now, correct?
I am. My number 7 is from Roadrunners, and specifically the end of Roadrunners when Scully and Doggett are attempting to escape from the slug cult in their bus, and the slug is like making its big attack on Scully. She's freaking out. It's almost up into her brain. Cut it out. And
oh God,
Doggett, without like a second's hesitation, he's got his knife there. He's cutting out the slug. He's throwing it out. He's shooting it. Like, all I can ever think is when I watch that is, man, Doggett is the guy I want around in an emergency, because he doesn't panic. He doesn't hesitate. He just does what he has to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, he's Doggett, and this is still fairly early in their partnership, so he had to be a little sort of like, really, you've got, what is this slug thing? But when Scully tells him to cut it out, he cuts it out.
Yeah.
If that's what Scully wants, that's what Scully gets. And I appreciate that about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate he's cool. He's taking care of business. And it's like, yes, that's the man that I want to have around when there's trouble. And I just really enjoy that about this moment.
Mm, yeah. I have Roadrunners on my list, too. I will talk about some different stuff, but I do have to give you huge props, because part of what you said was on my list. I had a few like little things that I just love that Doggett does in this episode. But
nice.
Roadrunners in general, I think, is one of the best in season 8. I love it. But like,
agreed.
But yeah, when he, the way he kind of flips his knife and just goes boop and just goes for it. It's
right?
Like, yeah. And I think Jillian is to be credited as well for this scene's effectiveness, because I know she has many times screamed her bloody head off, but I can't quite think of another episode in which I felt so uncomfortable listening to her sort of wail and scream, because you can tell this is just awful in so many ways. So awful that I can hardly believe that they even did it. But at the same time, it's scary, and it's supposed to be scary, and it's a television show. So I'm like, okay, all right, bring it on. Let's fuck her up. Okay, that was rude. But I actually really, really love, you mentioned the moment where he pulls it out, and it's so gross, but like, and he throws it, and then he just like shoots it like a badass. I love that. This episode is like, I wonder if they storyboarded it, because it's shot so beautifully. Like, the shots are so cool. Sorry, that's just my nerdy art brain thinking. But I love that shot where he shoots the slug, because you see the slug and then he just, and you don't imagine that is what's going to take that slug out. Like, I imagine like,
shoot it.
Yeah, like somebody taking like an axe to it or something. Like, I feel like that would have been satisfying. But
Yeah.
No, this shooting was so satisfying.
It really was.
That I'm like, no, I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. It was perfect. Perfect.
It really is. It's just like, pull him up with a knife, kill him with the gun. It's just like, there's something awesome about the whole thing. And he's like, he's a damn good shot too. And it's just,
it's hard to shoot that little thing. It's like, well, it's big, but it's little in terms of like, a target.
It's wiggling all over the place. Yeah. But man, he takes it out.
He does take it out,
it's
man.
It's a really good shooting. I have a feeling that the audio is really great in that too, because it is a very enjoyable shooting, I have to say. So I think, just props to how that whole scene is shot, no pun intended.
I love it.
It's really well done and just very enjoyable. And Gillian definitely adds a lot to it, as she does to everything. So Roadrunners, I agree, one of the best of 8 or 9 in my opinion. So enjoyable all the way around for me, but I love that moment for Doggett. We're on to number 6, I believe. You're number 6.
We are on to number 6. Okay, my number 6 is from a season 9 episode, Audrey Polly. And this is the moment at the very beginning of the episode when they're in the Monica and Doggett are in the car together, and they're having kind of a nice little moment. And I have to say, like, I am not like a Doggett Reyes shipper. I'm totally fine with it. Like, I'm like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing, that's fine. But I have never watched them and squeed like once. Like, I just they don't have that effect on me. But this moment came very close, and I think this might be the only moment in the entire run of the series where I actually sort of cared about the two of them as a couple, because I feel like this whole episode sort of, it was Mulder and Scully-esque. And I often wonder, like, this episode, if this episode had been done in the early run, like, with Mulder and Scully, it would have been a banger, man. Like, it would have been so good. It would have been so good. Not that it isn't good. It's a very good episode. And I think, like I said, this wonderful little scene at the beginning where they're in the car and they're talking about Doggett being a dog or a cat person. Do you remember this scene at all?
Yeah.
They say, like, we both need pets. They say people with pets live longer. And Doggett says he's thinking about getting a cat. And, you know, Monica takes great umbrage with this, which I take great umbrage with, and says there's dog people and cat people and you're a dog person, John. And they have this sort of argument over this. And I think whether you're a dog or a cat person, I wanted to have this conversation. Like, what do you think? Do you think Doggett is a dog person? Do you think he's a cat person? I think he's very loyal, but the fact that he says, I want a cat, they're low fucking maintenance, makes me think he's a cat person, because he wants a fucking cat. He gets it. And I'm like, okay, Monica, you're being adorable and you're trying to, you know, put the moves on him, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, I think Doggett's a cat person. I gotta say.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say that on the surface, Doggett appears to be a dog person through and through, but once you get to know him a little better, he actually turns out to be more of a cat person.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that idea of this juxtaposition of, like, big, tough ex-Marine man and his adorable little cat that I think would be very cute and very believable somehow.
And it's funny because I have known people like that in my life. And I mean, not to, like, give credence to stereotypes, but it's like people that you wouldn't think would be super into cats, and they just love their cat. And I'm like, first of all, if anyone listening doesn't know, I'm totally a cat person. So I look at these people and I'm like, oh, you're my people. You get it. And it's not that I don't like dogs. I think it's just an energy issue.
Yeah.
It's like, and I say this to my husband all the time, because we got, and I love my dog, but he's a lot. Okay. He's a golden retriever, and he's just like, like, he's in your face, like, all the fucking time. And I'm an introvert, and I'm just like no, don't get up on me. And so I'm like, okay, maybe it's just like a type of dog, but I'm very much like, I want the cat who just kind of comes to you when they feel like it. You go to them when you feel like it, and that's your relationship. And that's, and so, and I'm like, I always tell my husband, I'm like, I actually always kind of thought I was a dog person until I got a dog. And then I'm like, I think I'm not a dog person. And it doesn't mean I'm a horrible person, anyone listening. It's just different energy. And I think that Doggett has that kind of energy. So I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there.
Great. I think it's hilarious that you thought you were a dog person until you got a dog.
Yeah.
I was, funnily enough, I was just so that the dog people are happy. Just know that on X-Files Diaries, I'm the dog person. So the dog people are represented as well.
Yes.
And I didn't think I was a dog person until I got a dog, interestingly enough. I thought, because I grew up with cats and found dogs kind of scary. And but at some point, I decided a dog would be good company around the house because my husband was away a fair bit at that point. And I just thought it would be nice to have the dog for company. And so we got a dog much larger than I was intending, and I completely fell in love, and I've been like a major, major dog person ever since. So I love cats, but yeah, I'm a dog person, but I can see Doggett as a surprise cat person.
Yeah.
And that makes him very appealing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should clarify too that this is actually not the first dog that I have had. I have had another dog, but he was so chill that he may as well have been a cat. So, yeah. And we say
some
that all the time.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. That like, I liked that dog a lot because he just like laid on your lap. And I'm like, well, you may as well just be a cat. So you know, it's just, different vibes. Anyway, we've gotten way off course, but I have found this actually very delightful talking about this.
Really interesting. It's always interesting. I love to talk about dogs. So
yeah. Yeah. Well,
I'm glad to have an excuse.
Talking about all of this stuff is very fun. But anyway, I think this is a very sweet exchange. I think they have chemistry in this scene, and I really just really enjoy it. I think Doggett in particular is quite charming, and so that is my number six.
I think it's a very nicely written scene. I like what you said about like, wow, imagine if that had been a Mulder Scully scene. It would have been amazing because it is really well written. I have trouble getting on board with anything to do with the idea of Doggett and Reyes. I want to ship them so badly because I like them both a lot. And I think, you know, the show is kind of heading in that direction. So it would make a lot of sense to be on board, but I just could never quite get it. I do really like their friendship, though. I think their friendship is lovely. But I struggle a lot with anything to do with romantic chemistry. I don't know if it's because I honestly have trouble buying Reyes as a heterosexual woman. That might be part of my problem because I think she has great chemistry with Scully and less so with Doggett. But I think this is a sweet scene. And to me, it's more like I see it more in terms of friendship, even though I know I think it's supposed to be like flirty.
Yeah.
But I just cannot quite buy the flirting between them. But I think Doggett is very sweet in the scene. And I think he's not used to, he doesn't know how to deal with the ladies, I think.
Right.
And he's very kind of like awkward and sweet. And I like that a lot about him. And I think I like them both in the scene. And I think it's a lovely scene.
Yeah. And, you know, for the record, I agree with you because I have the same struggle with them.
Okay.
99% of the time. But I, for some reason in this scene, I could briefly see it. I could briefly see it. It's not it's not like I wished for it, or like I agree with you. I think that if they had made Reyes non-het, then I think it would have been way much. It would have been more interesting. I think.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. They didn't. So what are you gonna do?
This is what we got.
But here it is. I mean, if that's your headcanon, and so be it, that could explain the lack of chemistry that we're seeing.
Yeah.
And I have never been one to underestimate the power of these friendship scenes, too. Because I think we have so many with Mulder and Scully that, try as I might, I can see... even though I see the romantic chemistry, I always see it. I also see a friendship chemistry, and I don't think that that should be dismissed because I think that is a very valuable relationship as well. So
absolutely.
So whether you see this scene as a romantic scene, flirty scene, or just a very nice scene between two friends, either way, I just think it's a lovely scene. So
yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think that, it's not like, oh, well, you know, it's just a friendship, so it's not an interesting relationship. It's still a really interesting relationship to me. as a friendship. So yeah. I like that from that perspective, even though I think it was intended to be, you know, a little bit more flirty than that. But for me, if I just take it as friendship, I like it a lot because that's still a really interesting relationship and an enjoyable relationship. And I do like the two of them together.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of chemistry, although this scene, I will agree with you, is the closest I've come to shipping them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, because I don't see the chemistry either.
But they always have great friendship chemistry, I think. There's always like this great sense that they know each other really well and that they enjoy each other's company and that they care about each other. And I think that that's very sweet and really enjoyable. And this is a great scene for that.
Yep.
Nice.
All right. So we are on to your number six, right?
Number six. All right. Okay. This is from the season 8 episode Via Negativa, which I don't know if a lot of people really pay a whole lot of attention to. I'm not sure if it's like the most memorable episode in season 8, but I actually really like it. It's very much a Doggett episode. And I particularly enjoyed the ending where Doggett is sort of in this dream, but he can't tell if he's awake or asleep. And he's in, and there's this very sort of long, surreal dream sequence. And, you know, he's talking to Skinner. And then there's this whole bit where he's got an axe. And, oh, my God, he's suddenly finding himself. Is he going to kill Scully? And then he turns the axe and he's about to kill himself. I mean, it's all just really, like, very cool. And then Scully actually winds up waking him up, which is all very, really quite cute, actually. Mm-hmm. But I like it. It's rare to see Doggett so sort of unhinged and terrified. It kind of gives Robert Patrick a chance to kind of do something a bit different with the character, which is really interesting. And you know, he's usually just so calm and cool. And so seeing like that kind of vulnerability is, I enjoy it. And it makes him a more interesting character, I think. And, you know, in like kind of this sort of twisted way, it's kind of sweet to me that like Doggett's worst nightmare would be killing Scully. So it's kind of like, he's afraid he's going to kill her with an axe. It's just kind of like, I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah. Or the idea that, the opposite of protecting her, you know, I like that because that tracks with his characters. Like he's officially her partner now. Like his number one job is just to watch her back. And so this would be, you know, his worst nightmare. And, and especially I like the idea because the backstory of Doggett is that, you know, he was a cop and had a partner, and the partner we find out like betrayed him. I don't think we find that out till season 9, but, but yeah, I like the idea that like it kind of comes as like a package deal with Doggett. It's like he takes partnership very seriously. And I really like that. And this whole scene, I mean, take note, Chris Carter of Babylon. This is how you do a dream sequence on the X-Files.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is how you do it. And I mean, we should give credit. Frank Spotnitz wrote this episode, but the director was Tony Warmby. Who did a lot of, he did a few in season 8 and 9.
Yeah.
But
real strong work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to point out that I think that was probably, this is the most memorable scene from this episode. I can't remember jack shit from the rest of this episode, but I remember the scene with the blue light and how it would go to black and then it would be blue again. And he would be holding the axe and then he wouldn't be holding the axe. Then he would be holding the axe. And then he was like you said, it gave Robert Patrick a lot to do. And he looks really scary and the light's really scary and you really are uncomfortable. This is a really well done sequence. So
good job. Very memorable and very interesting. And I do just love the moment when Scully wakes him up and he's like super freaked out and she just goes, hi. It's just kind of sweet the way she does it. She's like, I don't know what's going on here, but I just love Scully and everything she does. So that's just a little bonus.
Little moments like that remind me when we had, was it Judd? When we had Judd on here and he was talking about how Robert Patrick and Jillian just really got along well and just had a really great time. And you see a little bit of Jillian in those moments, just kind of having fun with him. I like that too.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what he said. And you can definitely kind of sense that there's a very nice vibe between them. And I like that. It's very evident in their scenes. So
yeah, it's nice to see.
It's great. I really like their friendship a lot.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
Doggett and Scully's. That's like such a key part of season 8. It's one of the reasons why I like season 8. I don't talk about it very often because I like a lot of other things about season 8. But the relationship and the friendship between Doggett and Scully is such a great relationship, and I enjoyed it a lot.
If anyone doesn't believe us and needs some evidence of this, it's not on my list. It came close. But watch the first scene, not the cold open, but the first scene of Bad Law, which is one that not okay. many people rewatch, where they're in the crime scene, the hotel room, and their banter in that scene is so great. It's very well written. It's very well acted. And it's just highly enjoyable, the two of them working together. And I just really like, that's a really good example of what you're talking about. Just this really yeah. nice camaraderie between the two of them. And at that yeah. point, it had developed. And yeah, their friendship is great. I think they work really
it's
well
nice.
Together.
Mm-hmm. And I like the way it just, there was a whole arc to it, that they didn't start off as being
right.
super friendly
right.
and that there was, you know, challenges between them.
It was earned.
And it just, it really is earned, and it's very, very enjoyable. So I always enjoy scenes with them together.
Love it. All right.
What's your number 5?
My number 5 is The End of Existence, which, you know, many fans decree the ending of the show.
Yep.
But I think it would have made a fantastic end, and not just for the Mulder and Scully arc. If they had continued season 9 and just completely dropped Mulder and Scully from the storyline, we've said this before a million times, I think that they set it up so beautifully at the end yep. of Existence with, like I said, another scene with Kirsch. Doggett standing up to Kirsch. He's saying, you know, he's basically threatening Kirsch that, like, I'm going to be investigating you, buddy. And Kirsch is kind of starting to sweat it. And he's like, I tell you what to investigate. And he's like, yeah, bitch. He didn't say that. I just hear that in my mind. But he says,
totally.
You put me on the X-Files. That's what I'm investigating. I mean, I just love it when he's able to sort of turn around his own bullshit on him. Sorry, Leia will not leave me alone. I apologize for all that.
Just really like highlighting your cat person.
She heard our cat thing. She heard that conversation, and she had to come join. I swear.
She wanted to just sort of validate your cat person status.
Yeah, seriously. She knew. But anyway, I think that's such a great scene, and I think that's a great final sort of power duo shot of him and Monica as they're about to leave the office. And I think it would have been such a great jumping point for season 9 if season 9 just didn't have Scully in it. Like, you know, it would have been
exactly
so good. Anyway, so even with the season 9 we got, I just think that was a great ending to their characters for season 8. And it was just giving Doggett another chance to sort of have a one-up on Kirsch is always great. And so that's my number 5.
That's a great number 5. It came very close to making my list as well. It is just such a satisfying end to that season and to the whole, you know, all of the sort of the duels between Doggett and Kirsch throughout the season. It's just such a kick-ass moment for Doggett and for Reyes, too. It's a great scene for both of them. I love it. I love the way the whole thing unfolds. And that I totally agree, that shot of Doggett and Reyes at the door as they're leaving, this crowd of just like this great sort of hero shot of the two of them. So awesome. And that's like, you know, Doggett at his best. And I love every minute of it. Totally agree that it would have been an awesome springboard to the Doggett and Reyes show in season 9. That would have been a show I would have preferred watching, honestly, to what we actually got.
Yeah.
And that scene kind of demonstrates what the potential could have been for that kind of focus.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm glad we got that scene because it was awesome. And it was just, it just made me feel so happy and just really just made that whole season come together for Doggett's sort of arc in terms of his role in the FBI. And I enjoyed it a lot. So I'm glad that you put it on your list.
Yeah. And you know, Monica's too. Like, I like the idea that like I like the implication that he sort of took it upon himself to like bring her on as his partner. Kirsch is like, I guess you're on the X-Files too. I don't know what he says, but like he says something like really pissed, as if like
so
he doesn't
great.
Have any control over it. I'm kind of like, couldn't he just say no? But I guess he can't. I don't know. But it was just really funny. It's just really funny. I love that. And I think that it was just, Doggett sort of heralding in the new era that could have been, that should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just such it's a great awesome. Moment. Yeah.
It really, I love the way it's shot too, where you just see Doggett at the beginning of the scene and then you don't see Reyes until just the camera pans over to her and it's like, oh, Reyes is there too. Yep. It's just, I love it. It just keeps getting better as the scene goes on. So,
by the way, I love to imitate Kirsch, in case you didn't figure that out.
Just you're doing a really
good job.
Because
he just screams everything.
You investigate what I tell you to investigate.
Like, everything. He has to be very, very loud. And he's like this bad guy who's so evil that, like, when he turns out to be a good guy, you're almost like, huh?
What? Still don't buy it. Yeah, no. I mean, I know that was meant to be like a really great moment. Like, oh my God, Kirsch is helping. But at the time, it just
came out of nowhere. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it came out of nowhere, but it was just kind of unnecessary. Like,
it just didn't work.
Did not work
for me, you know, having Skinner be kind of a little mean to Mulder and Scully and then turn out to be their friend, that one made sense,
right?
But Kirsch turning out to be their friend, never. No.
You're like, eh?
Yeah, no, didn't. I mean, quite buy it.
They did. I mean, we're getting off track. They did do a good job, I think, in the truth of sort of laying out the motivations for what we would see from Kirsch later. They did a good job, but it sort of negates the four seasons that came before that, like, of him being a total dick. Like, I don't know. It was weird.
You can't undo that in one two-parter. It just doesn't work. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, we will revisit this conversation because I do have one more Kirsch thing on my list, but
all right, cool.
But yeah,
I like Kirsch as a badass, so I think he did a really awesome job of it. So I'm very happy with him in that role.
It took me so long to figure out that that's the same guy who's the chief on Grey's Anatomy.
All right, because, thank God. Okay, that I'm not the only one that took forever to figure this out.
Because they're so different; they're like polar opposite characters. It took me forever to make that connection. I should have known that because I watched Grey's Anatomy from the beginning, and I had already completed X-Files at that point. But I mean, Kirsch was on it, you know, I guess relatively infrequently. So it's not like he was like a main character or anything, but like, he's just so different on Grey's Anatomy that I never made that connection. And then I think at one point it was the name that I saw the actor's name, which I'm now blanking on, which I'm going to look up now because he needs a shout out. But I looked up
and I've already forgotten his name too. I looked up the actor last night because
James Pickens Jr.
It was a couple of nights ago because I wanted to remind myself which episodes Kirsch had been in season 8, because I knew I wanted to pick a couple of moments between Kirsch and Doggett. And it was only then. It was this very week.
Are you serious?
I was this week years old when I found out that he was also the chief on Grey's Anatomy, and I feel like the biggest dunce.
Oh yeah.
Because I watched Grey's Anatomy from the beginning too for years, and I never made that connection.
Yep.
And I can't believe I didn't, because it seems really obvious to me now.
It's so obvious. I really want, if people had the same experience as us, I really want them to write in and tell us, because I'm glad I don't feel like an idiot, because you had the same experience as me. You just had it maybe a couple of years later than I did, but still too late. Still several years too late. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know what to say.
Shout out to James Pickens Jr. for being such a chameleon. Jeez.
Yeah, that I didn't even recognize him. Maybe it was because he had the beard. I don't know.
I mean, that's
not a good excuse.
It isn't a good excuse. He's just a really good actor.
I mean, it's not like I was just a casual fan of Grey's Anatomy either. I was very into the
show for
several years.
And he's a main
character. Lost somewhere along the way, but. He's a main character, and I liked his character a lot.
What is wrong with us, Jen? Like, how
made the connection?
Oh my God, that's crazy!
I can't. I guess because I'm going to go with the fact that he's just such a good actor that he was unrecognizable.
I would rather believe that we are both just that stupid. So let's take it.
Oh, I can't explain it. Yeah, I'm glad that I had a chance to get that off my chest, because I felt really stupid when I realized that this week. So I'm glad that I was able to confess that to you and to our listeners.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, thank you. Speaking of Kirsch, are we on to my number 5?
We are.
All right. Speaking of Kirsch, I have another Kirsch and Doggett moment. This is from the episode 3 Words when Mulder is back on the scene. And it's just a little moment, actually, in this interaction between Kirsch and Doggett. And Skinner's in this scene as well. And Kirsch is talking about the fact that Mulder wants to come back to the X-Files and saying how the success rate that Agent Doggett has had on the X-Files has, like, everything has been so awesome since Doggett joined the X-Files, and it's damn impressive, John. And Doggett's reply, I adore, which is, impressive, sir. The only thing impressive about my work on the X-Files is that I even know what's going on half the time. And I love it because it's so sort of self-effacing, and it's classic Doggett because he's very humble.
Yeah.
And he's always had this kind of like air of slightly sort of cheerful confusion, I would say, with regards to the X-Files. And I love that about him. And he's very modest, and he's like, he could so easily have just taken credit because Kirsch was trying to give him credit. And no, it's like, nuh-uh. That's Scully and Mulder.
Yeah.
That's their X-Files. That's not me.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on half the time.
And I just love that. It's like he's almost embarrassed. It's like someone else does all the work, and then somebody comes and tries to give you credit for stepping in at the 11th hour and what a great job you've done. And then it's kind of a natural human reaction to feel kind of embarrassed or guilty and be like, well, no, I stood on the shoulders of these giants for this entire time. And it's not like he outwardly says that because, you know, he's Doggett and he's being smart with Kirsch.
Yeah.
But that's what he's implying. He's basically saying, look, you put me here. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here, bro. Like, I mean, I love it. Yeah. He's just, like you said, very self-effacing. This is also very meta because I feel like a lot of viewers probably relate to this line a lot. And the only thing impressive about my watching the X-Files is that I even know what's going on half the time. So I like that about it too. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's great. And it's just like, I love it. I love it when Doggett kind of makes fun of himself a little bit sometimes. He doesn't take himself too seriously, which I enjoy about him because he's a pretty serious guy most of the time, but he doesn't take himself too seriously, which I enjoy a lot. And I appreciate the fact that he doesn't take the credit that's presented to him on a silver platter and make sure he sticks up for his partner at all times, which I really like about him. So that's my number five.
Good one. Good one. Thanks. And I mean, that's very consistent with his character throughout the series. I mean, he's not he is not one to swoop in and take credit. Like, he's always quite skeptical of, why am I here? Why am I being offered this position? What's all this maneuvering that's going on? And he's very transparent with Scully about it too, at least, you know, later in the season for sure. Like even that moment when he's like, you know what's happening here, right? You go on maternity leave and then they get to close down the X-Files, so I'm not going anywhere. I mean, it's just, he's just a really good guy. Like, he does the right thing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love
how he really has no personal stake in the X-Files and doesn't buy half the shit that's going on, but he still does his damnedest to protect that division and to protect the X-Files because he believes in what Scully and Mulder are doing, and he believes in them, especially Scully, which I think is very sweet, and I admire that about him.
And he wants to do good work at the end of the day, and I think that's admirable. I really like that about him.
He just wants to do the right thing, and that's awesome because, I mean, there's so many people in the FBI of the X-Files that are not trying to do the right thing, it's so nice to see someone that is.
Yeah, totally.
It's rare and wonderful. We're on to your number four, I think.
All right, my number four. It's a very brief moment. One of my very favorite Doggett moments, obviously, because it's on this list. And I have to credit David Duchovny for this because it's in the episode William, which he wrote and directed, I believe. Nice. And this totally seems like a David moment. Having Doggett in the office at the beginning of the episode doing push-ups, but doing them like, you know, 4,000 blah, 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 4,000 blah, 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 20. And then he just gives up and he drops. It's so great. And he's doing it while he's reading a file.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cute. And it's such a great little moment. And I have the script for this. And it is scripted. But, I mean, it seems like something that David would do. It feels like a David moment. And it really humanizes Doggett in a really lovely way. And I get the feeling the way that David writes Doggett and even is with Doggett when he's acting with him, that he probably liked this character. He probably liked writing for this character and playing around with the difference that this character brought to the show. And I think that you see that here. And it's just such a cute little tiny moment. It doesn't add anything to the plot, but it adds so much to Doggett's character. And I just love mm-hmm. it.
I love it, too. It is like completely unnecessary to the plot, but such a delightful moment and a delightful character moment. And I totally agree. It feels very David to have that moment in there. So I have no doubt that he would have written that. It does kind of make Doggett just in that little moment, like, more interesting. It just kind of gives him a whole other little interesting dimension that he's kind of, you know, he's just a regular guy who's, you know, just struggling to get through a couple of push-ups.
Yeah.
And then he says something like, they don't pay me enough for this. And he's like, I'm out of here.
His very Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, Lethal Weapon moment. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Very much.
And very much.
It really works for him. Mm-hmm. And they don't do a lot with that kind of aspect of his character. But it's very funny in that. And the idea that Doggett is doing push-ups, like you say, while he's reading a file, because, you know, he's just that committed. And it's obviously really late at night. I love everything about it. And it's very brief. And it isn't like you say, it's not like driving the plot forward, but it's still delightful. And we don't get that many delightful moments with Doggett. So I really appreciate that. Appreciate David Duchovny and appreciate you, Annie, for including it on your list.
Well, thank you.
Nice one, because I totally forgot that ever even happened. So I'm glad that you reminded me.
This is one of the few in season 9 that I really enjoy and rewatch, because you know me, I enjoy pain. So
yeah, me too, actually.
I'll watch William all the time.
Yeah. William's probably the season 9 episode, other than The Truth, that I know the best. And yeah, it's the pain.
Sweet,
enjoyable.
Delicious pain. Oh, bring it on.
Sweet pain.
I love it.
It's just, you know, mwah, chef's kiss. It's really good, actually. okay, great. On to my number 4. This is also from season 9, from Trust No One. Speaking about episodes with exquisite pain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of moments with Doggett in that episode that I like a lot. But the one that that I picked, which is also like one of my favorite moments of all of season 9, is when Doggett and Scully are talking about the idea of Mulder coming and the danger that he might actually wind up being in. And Doggett suggests that they call the whole thing off, and Scully's, you know, I've already sent for him, and Doggett thinks that she should, we should not do this. And I just love it when Scully says, I want to see him so bad. It's like, love that. And I love Doggett's response wherein he says, I know, and I want to make sure that you get to Dana. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason I'm here. And I love that. I love that about Doggett, that he's here for her, even when she doesn't want him to be. Like, she doesn't want to hear this from him. And he's doing what a real friend does, which is like, you know, I'm going to tell you how I feel, even if you don't want to hear it. I am here for you. I'm looking out for you, even if I'm not sure you're looking out for yourself right now.
Right.
And I really love that. And I love how he gets where she's coming from. And I believe him when he says, that's the whole reason I'm here. It's just so sort of like, I just love that about Doggett in season 9 and through season 8. But in season 9, it's more personal, that he wants to get Mulder back for Scully. And in season 8, it's more like, you know, he wants to get Mulder back because it's his job. I think it becomes more personal as the season goes on. But in season 9, it's more like, you know, I am here for you and for Mulder. And I think it's just delightful. And I really like that moment, because he's just, you get such a sense of how much he wants to do right by her and get her what she wants, even if she doesn't see it at that moment. It's just very sincere and very heartfelt. And so I just really love that. I really love that scene all the way around, actually. That's my number 4.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking in my thing of scripts, because I do have the script for this somewhere. And it's interesting. Very nice. This moment is, I can't find it, but I know that our good friend Rain Knight will have it and can help us out with this. I'm sure she can. Nice. But I'm pretty sure that this moment was scripted. This is another one of those moments where it's sort of scripted that, like, this is supposed to sort of sting Doggett. Like hearing how much Scully loves Mulder and misses Mulder and wants to see Mulder, like, somehow pains Doggett, like, in a romantic way. And again, I feel like Robert Patrick doesn't play it that way. And I wonder how intentional that is. I wonder if like he's seeing that and Jillian's seeing it and they're like, eh, let's not fucking do that. you know, and because it, you know, it doesn't play that way. And again, that could be just the total lack of chemistry, romantic chemistry these two characters have with each other, these two actors have with each other. They have very good chemistry as actors, just not romantic chemistry. Yeah. And so nobody sees that. But I just think it's interesting because I'm pretty sure in the script there was a script note that like indicated that that was supposed to be what his reaction was, which I wanted to tell you because I didn't know if that would change your perspective on this scene. But since I don't read it that way when I watch it, it doesn't bother me. But knowing that that was sort of the intent here does make me sort of think about what were they going for with this? Like,
what were they thinking? I mean, it doesn't change my opinion. It makes me very puzzled that that's what they were going for because it is so not what wound up happening.
No.
I mean, not even close for me.
No.
Maybe someone sees that when they watch that scene, but I sure as hell don't. It's the last thing I see.
And I think that's intentional because maybe it was a rewrite, hopefully, or maybe it was, like I said, just on the day the director or the actors said, don't play it that way. Which happens. Yeah. That happens.
Yeah.
So
Because there's not even the slightest flicker of that. All I'm getting from Doggett in that scene is caring about Scully and
protective.
Wanting her to be happy and protecting her and protecting Mulder for her benefit.
Yes.
That he's just there for her as a friend and he's just looking out for her. And I get that he's like, he's bringing some strong emotion to the scene, but it's to me it's not like romantic. It's it's not a sort of a romantic kind of connection, or even certainly don't get the sense that he's like jealous or something like that.
Right.
Not
it's
even
just,
a tiny bit.
It's just so silly. It's a silly
that
script
silly.
Direction. And
that
so
is silly. Thank God they didn't play it that way. I would have hated it because as it is, I really love this scene. And it just goes to show that adding romance into a scene is not always a good idea and frequently would really screw up the scene. In this case, I think it would have kind of messed it up.
Well, and the romance in this scene is between Scully and a character that is not even there. And that, at the end of the day, is probably the decision that they all made. Like, we are overcomplicating this. There's only one romance happening here, and we do not need more.
Totally agree. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's so clear in that scene how intensely Scully feels for Mulder. It's so, so well done by Jillian.
Yeah.
Is it possible that somewhere along the way that Doggett does kind of have a little crush on Scully? Sure. Like you said earlier, everybody loves Scully. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever thought for a second that they were meant to be. I think he really does sort of, he's just there for her as a friend, and he knows she loves Mulder, and he knows that being with Mulder is what will make her happy, and he just wants her to be happy because, you know, he's just there for her.
Doggett is in the friend zone before they're even friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he's aware of that, which is why even though he probably has a crush on Scully, that he never, ever, ever acts on it. He knows. Yeah. He knows that nothing's going to happen. He knows when he walks into Mulder's apartment and finds her sleeping on his bed. He knows that he has no chance. So
it's not going to happen.
It's a silly thing for them to continue to shoehorn in. And luckily, like we said before, they didn't push it too hard. So I can't be too mad.
God, I would have hated it. But as it is, I really love that scene because it is actually quite a shippy scene.
It is.
MSR shippers. Even without Mulder in the room, he and Scully have amazing chemistry.
Well, we say this all the time about season 8 is that it is so underrated as a shippy season because it's all Scully pining. The whole season is just Scully pining away from Mulder.
Oh, man.
Can you be mad at that?
I love me some pining. Yeah. And I mean, if you like me, enjoy pining, then you really need to watch season 8. And we get a fair bit of it in season 9 as well. So it's a necessary evil, but you might as well enjoy it. And I do. So, and this is a really great scene for that. And I love Doggett in the scene. He's what she needs him to be. And I like that about him. And I like that about that scene a lot. So that's my number 4.
It's a great pick. Very great.
We're into a top 3, Annie. What's your number 3?
All right. We're on a top 3. My number 3 is Roadrunners. but I had such a little collection of moments that I won't talk about the stuff you already did.
Okay.
I love the part where he's in the car and he's talking on the phone to somebody and he's like, he had a gun in his pocket and I don't mean he was happy to see me. It was like, again, it was again Doggett making like ridiculous dumb jokes because he thinks he's like, he's trying to be funny, but he's not. But
he
he's
so funny.
I love that he tries to be funny. So I loved that. And that was just a little tiny part of this. And I also love just everything from Doggett finding Scully when he literally goes into that room, sees Scully tied up, and then just fucking clocks that guy in the face. He's yes. just like, I don't even care who you are. You're getting punched. And I love that. And then he picks Scully up, saves her. He carries her out of the thing. The whole thing with the cutting out that we already talked about, shooting the slug. Like, this is entirely like Doggett badassery, and I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then especially that ending imagery with him carrying her out, like through the crowds of sad yeah. people that are just sad
yeah,
about their
and
dead
all like
slug.
The lights and everything, yeah. the flashing lights.
Again
yeah.
and again, just super well directed, and it's just such a good episode. And I should give a shout out to I'm looking it up. That's a Vince episode, obviously, but the director is Rod Hardy. Another one that he did some in season 8, but I don't think that he came back after that, a couple in season 8. But very, very well directed. Like I said yeah. earlier, I think this entire episode is, I think, full of great shots, and that shot of him carrying Scully is so great. And again, this is all the scene that leads to them sort of, in my opinion, this is kind of where they solidify their trust in each other. And it took 4 episodes, which is, I think, a good length. And just a really, really great episode all around, but a really great Doggett episode. So that's why that's my number 3.
Nice choice. Great choice. Obviously, I agree, since I had part of that on my list mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. It is like, you know, Doggett at his badass best.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of thinking I probably should have put it higher up on my list, because it is just a very classic Doggett all the way around. He's just taking care of business.
He is taking care of business. And making making non-funny jokes that make him adorable along the way.
Is it like they're kind of dad jokes?
Yeah, they are so dad jokes. You're right; they are dad jokes, and he's a dad. So we haven't even brought up that aspect of his character, that he is a dad, and so he would be making these dad jokes. As sad as that is to think about, he would be making dad jokes. I love it.
Yes,
I love
that. It's just it's just part of that's Doggett for you. He just makes the bad jokes and finds them hilarious, and it's very sweet.
He's just charming.
I find that very sexy of him.
Yeah, it's very charming.
It is. It is very charming. And I forgot to put that one about the gun. Great episode all the way around, obviously. I love Roadrunners. It is really well directed, too. You're right about that. And as well as obviously well written from Dear Vince. So, I totally agree 100% on everything you've said.
Your number 3.
It kind of encompasses Roadrunners, but it's mostly about the previous episode, which is Patience. I think that's the previous episode. Yeah, it's particularly the moment when we find that Scully comes into the X-Files office and Doggett's there. He's kind of like hanging out with his buddies. It's a little bit of an awkward moment, but then it turns out he's been in the X-Files office all weekend, going over every X-Files they have, reading every file. And Scully's twice sort of like taken aback and like, oh, okay, I was prepared to be kind of pissed at you right now, but I have to be impressed by your diligence. And I love that she says, do you have any questions? And he says, just a few. That's that's actually quite funny. He's very wry about it. And I love it. And he's very respectful, and he asks, you know, like, where does she want him to sit and all that. And I just love it. I love this scene really establishes, I think, that he's taking this job seriously and that he's going to be diligent about it. He's going to give it his best, and that he's going to be respectful towards Scully and towards the work of the X-Files. And I love all of that. And I love the fact that this sort of carries over into Roadrunners, where near the beginning, Scully is talking to Doggett on the phone, and she's like, I kind of remember like there was some kind of mucus in these other X-Files at some point. And she's like, and I know you read all the files, so maybe you remember better than I do.
Ring a bell? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't have a good memory for mucus, but I'll check. And by gum, he does check, and he finds like four similar cases. It's such a classic sort of setup, the way Mulder would be the one calling Scully saying, could you look this up for me? Yep. And she's like, fine, whatever. But I feel like Doggett does it a bit more cheerfully than Scully used to. He's
excited.
Just happy to help.
Yeah.
He just really wants to be there and to help. Yeah. And he does. And he really does help and does an awesome job. And I just love that about him, about how he just really wanted to do a good job. And he just did his damnedest to really embrace that role that he was not necessarily looking for, but wound up with. And he was going to do the best job he could. And he was going to be respectful towards the work and towards Scully. And I love that about that moment and about that aspect of Doggett's character.
Yeah, totally agree.
That's my number three.
That's a good one, and that actually was on my list. And then when I found out that you were doing it, I'm like, I can just bump that one off since it was on there. But I do agree with you. Love it. Love that he did put all that time and effort in. And it's interesting, too, because he, like, you know, like we said, he's a little smarmy to her about it, and he's kind of making fun of this job. And even at the beginning of this episode, Patience, where he's got his buddies down there, he's kind of putting on airs like, oh, look at this silly stuff, blah, 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 blah. But then, like you said, they leave, and you find out the truth of it is that he's taking it seriously, you know? Yeah. And even at that point, and I want to say it starts right off the bat in Patience, he will make a joke occasionally about how ridiculous this all is, but it's always sort of in a respectful way towards Scully, or in kind of a like, well, I'm in over my head here, Scully, so blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You're going to have to explain it to me. Yeah. It's not like in a condescending way or in a patronizing way. It's not like that. Like, I mean, because we got that out of the way in Within. We were entitled to have a little bit of that from him in Within, because I think anyone coming onto the X-Files from a normal, quote unquote, normal job would have that reaction. And we would expect them to have that reaction. So I really like Doggett's arc in terms of the way he treats the X-Files. I like that a lot. And this is a really great example of that. So
that's a great point, because, you know, he never pretends that he never pretends to understand the X-Files. He's not like sucking up and being all like, ooh, the X-Files, this is great. He's very straightforward he's honest about how he feels. Mm-hmm. But you know you can trust him for that reason, because he's not being deceptive at all.
He's not
going
to bullshit you. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to bullshit you. He's like, this is all just kind of, I'm a bit out of my depth. But you're right. He never like mocks it or degrades it in any way. And it would have been easy to slide into that, I think, with that character, and I'm glad that they were careful not to, and that Robert Patrick played it in such a fashion that didn't happen. And this is kind of a great scene where we kind of demonstrate how diligent he is and how serious he is about his job. He's just the kind of guy that if you give him an assignment, he's going to take it freaking seriously.
Yeah.
And I love that about him. He's just a really reliable guy that's going to do his best. And you can't ask for more than that.
Yeah. Yep.
What's your number two, Annie?
You're down to number two. Okay. I had to pick this mainly because I do enjoy Doggett and Kirsch so much, but also because any opportunity that I get to bring up the actual canonized reason that Mulder left in season 9, I will fucking do it, Jen.
Do it. Do it, please.
Nothing important happened today. Part 2. At the very end of the episode, Doggett is the only character to verbally explain with words in an episode the reason that Mulder left. Thank you very much. And it was not because he was a deadbeat dad or an asshole. He left because Scully made him leave. And we find this out in this episode. Everyone forgets because nobody has seen this episode more than once. But it's there. And I think it's so important that it's there, even though they should have spent a lot more time on this particular aspect of the seasonal arc. It's there. Doggett gets to say it, and that's my number two.
I think that's great, and I totally agree that it's valuable to bring that up at any opportunity.
Thank you. It is.
You're doing a public service.
Thank you.
The fact that the only time they really do address this head on is in the scene between Kirsch and Doggett. I mean, I love those guys, but they're not exactly the characters you would expect to get this kind of important character information from.
Right.
If it was a scene where even if Skinner had been there, it would have made it more noteworthy, I think, or if obviously if it had been a scene between Doggett and Scully, if he'd had a similar conversation with her about this, it would have been so much more memorable. But the fact that he's talking about her without her present makes it a lot less memorable, I think. He does really spell it out. I mean, we don't often get things this clearly spelled out on the X-Files.
Right.
But somehow it's done in just this kind of like tense dialogue kind of scene just about a lot of different things that are going on in terms of like what's Kirsch up to. And then there's this, and then we, and then all of a sudden we're talking about Scully. It's easy to kind of miss in a way. And I think sometimes.
Well, and it's so quick. Maybe,
it's very quick. Like if you tuned out a little bit during that kind of slightly confusing conversation, then you would miss it. But yeah, it's there. And yeah, it's very clear. It's made very clear. So if you haven't watched it in a while, it's always a good idea. Watch that scene and just remind yourself, watch the whole two-parter, but just watch that scene especially.
I feel like maybe I should read the dialogue as another public service.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Doggett is figuring out that Kirsch has helped him with this obituary for the rest of this plot that is irrelevant. Kirsch says, Agent Mulder believed me. This is out of nowhere. Doggett says, Mulder, what the hell are you talking about? Mulder's long gone. Kirsch says, say I told Mulder that he would be killed if he stayed. The same people who threatened to kill me if I didn't go along. Would you believe that, John? Doggett says, no, Mulder wouldn't hear it. Not from you. Not from anybody. Kirsch says, I said I told him to go. I didn't say I persuaded him. And then Doggett says, oh my God, it was Scully. Scully made him go. That's it, isn't it? There we have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And it is,
and just
to be fair, it is all he said, she said. But it is clear from this dialogue that this is information being imparted to the viewer as to what happened. And it's very believable. All of this is very believable. Kirsch is trying to explain, well, I was warning him. He didn't listen to me. The only person he would listen to is Scully. I believe it. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Yeah, I think, and I agree that the way it's presented to the viewer, just the look on Doggett's face as he makes this like amazing realization, like, oh my God, it was Scully that convinced him to go. It all seems very credible. We have no reason not to think that it's the truth.
Exactly.
It does kind of fall into that sort of tricky business of, you know, as they always sort of say in television, you should show and not tell.
Yes.
This is kind of like they're telling and not showing.
But they can't show with an actor they don't have.
This
like,
is the problem.
Yes,
this is
they
the
can't,
problem.
We can't have that scene. But like you said, they could have done this in so many more appropriate ways, so many more memorable ways. But I mean, I think we said this in the past. I think we talked about this in the past, that I think the idea that putting it in an episode called Nothing Important Happened Today and putting it right after this whole soliloquy that Kirsch gives about King George and how the declaration was signed on the day and he wrote Nothing Important Happened. I really think that it's very tongue in cheek the way that the most important information that we get in this entire season is sort of sandwiched right here in this scene. Where he's talking about unimportant things happening, where it's very important and most people miss it. And he says it. Kirsch literally says, even kings miss it. Even kings miss these things. And
that's right.
I have to think that's intentional. Like
I know. I always wonder if that's intentional. I'm not convinced that it is, but I almost like it better if it's not intentional, because it just makes it so sort of like unintentionally appropriate that it makes me like it even more.
Well, I think that I feel the opposite. I hope it is intentional, because I think it would add to my theory that Chris Carter, I think, expects a lot from his audience, and sometimes to a fault. And in this case, very much to a fault, because he expected far too much from his audience in this point. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why I think it is intentional, and it was ill-advised. But here it is. That's my point. Here it is.
I agree. And this is an excellent example, like you say, of Chris Carter expecting a lot of his audience. I mean, it's not that it's hard to understand what's happening, because, you know, it is being spelled out, but you have to be paying attention.
Yes.
And he never says it again.
No one ever says it again.
It's this one time in this one scene. It comes out of nowhere. You've got to be paying attention. And in today's sort of TV culture, it would be much less likely to be missed, because, you know, there's just much more of a tendency to rewatch episodes much more of a tendency to discuss ad nauseum every detail of every episode,
right,
in whatever online form you want. Whereas, you know, back in the day, we didn't have nearly that kind of, we didn't have social media. We had like, you know, online forums, and people didn't tend to discuss the minutiae nearly as much as we do now. And so to expect people to pick up on that, he was expecting a lot. He was expecting us to sit down, pay attention, don't miss a thing.
Yeah.
And I confess that I don't think I quite grasped it at the time.
No, I didn't either.
I think I was busy stewing the whole time about the whole situation.
We all were.
Yeah. So I don't think I got it. Yeah. And I can imagine that a lot of people didn't. So that's why it's important to be reminded from time to time that it is very clearly spelled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think too, another thing to your point that people weren't necessarily rewatching these episodes, like nobody was going to say, I can't wait to put Nothing Important Happened Today back into the VCR and watch it again. Like for most of us, it was just like, thank Christ that's over. Now it will be a whole nother 7 days before I have to sit through this again. Like that was seriously my entire attitude through all of season 9, that first time around. Yeah. It was such a chore. And I feel bad saying that, but it really was. It really
was. Honestly.
And so, yeah. And I mean, I never once thought that Mulder didn't have his very good reasons to leave. I never once thought that. But did I completely process this at the time? No, I don't think I did.
No.
I was too busy being mad. So.
Yeah, I don't think I realized the degree to which it was really just outlined for us very bluntly.
Yeah.
I think I just was feeling more like a lot of this was kind of fan theory and not realizing that, no, this is very clear canon.
Yeah.
So that was always a bit of a challenge. I just think of it today and think, man, if that aired now, this key bit of dialogue, even if you missed it, someone would have pointed it out.
Yep.
Someone will have gifted it within like an hour of the show airing, and you'd see the gif of him saying it over and over again, and you'd be like, oh, right.
Yeah.
We'd all be like hung up on that moment because it's the only really good thing in the episode, and we'd never forget it ever again.
Right.
So, but as it was, it's like, no, everyone just wrote like long paragraphs talking about this, that, and the other thing, and we didn't really have an opportunity to go over the little bits and pieces
the way
Chris we do.
Chris Carter also didn't count on the fact that nearly every person watching this episode was fucking passed out by the time they arrived at this moment. Everyone was sleeping. So nobody even knew that this happened. And that's kind of the beauty of what's being said in this scene and the title.
it's
so ironic and I love it. And you know, no offense, we've said what we have to say about certain aspects of season 9.
Oh yes.
And the fact that most of us were not happy with it at the time. I can look back on season 9 now and appreciate it far more than I did at the time, but at the time I did not enjoy it. So and I know I was not alone in that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, expecting a lot from the viewer in terms of paying attention and expecting a lot from the viewer to still be watching at that point.
Exactly.
So, I totally agree. So always a good thing to remind folks of it. So it was a great Doggett moment as well. Doggett and Kirsch, awesome together. So excellent choice. Glad you picked it.
Thank you.
Number two.
What is your number two?
My number two is from the episode Alone, which I think is an underrated episode. I like it a lot. The moment that I picked is it's just a very quick moment. It's at the end of the episode, and Doggett is in the hospital, and Scully and Mulder show up, and they're just there to visit the agent whose name has escaped me at the moment.
Layla Harrison.
Thank you, Layla Harrison. As Doggett's coming out of Agent Harrison's room, he sees Mulder and Scully coming down the hallway at the hospital. And for some reason, Doggett immediately says, is this it? Like pointing at Scully, I think in the general direction of her very pregnant tummy at that point. And he's just so excited.
Yeah.
There's not, like no reason to think that. I mean, they're there for the same reason you are, dude. But it's just so cute how excited he is at the prospect that she might be there because she's going into labor and about to deliver the baby. Aww. And it's also just a very cute moment, bonus wise, between Scully and Mulder too, because they're just kind of like look at each other and kind of have a cute little laugh.
Yeah.
And it's just a very sweet, nice, pleasant moment mm-hmm. between the three of them without like a whole bunch of tension or drama or someone's gonna die. It's just like a very nice little moment between the three of them, which we get so few of. And I like it. I just really like it when Scully and Mulder and Doggett are all getting along, and I just think that's a very sweet little moment, and I just think it's adorable how excited he is about the baby coming. So that's my number two. I just really enjoy it.
I think that's a really good pick. It's kind of like the push-up moment. Like, it's so little and unnecessary, but it adds so much to that episode.
Yeah.
It's an episode that otherwise I really don't care for. I know we've talked about this before, but like, there are little moments in it like that I think really add it. And that's a Frank episode, right? I think Frank's really good at adding those little moments.
Yeah.
Because he knows that those are what people like, really like. I think the only thing that could have made this scene better, is that if the line had been Doggett running up going, "Is it baby time?" I would have loved that. I would have loved him to ask if it's baby time.
I feel like I like it even better as it is, because it's almost like he's so excited he can't even articulate what it is that he's saying.
Right.
All he can come up with is this it?
He was just so excited. I had to think about like, okay, how would he be even more excited? He's just so cute.
It's very sweet. Yeah. And I love that because, you know, when Mulder comes back, and as Scully gets more and more pregnant, there is this sense of Doggett feeling kind of excluded, which he kind of is.
Yeah.
And him feeling, you know, a bit sad about that. So it's nice to see him really happy about seeing the two of them and about the baby. And it just kind of gives this sort of sense of, to me, of like sort of tying up their relationship, the three of them, that like, you know, this is sweet. They're all on the same page. They're all happy about this baby, and I kind of enjoy it. And it is a great moment between Mulder and Scully too, where they seem very much a couple, which we don't get to see enough of, in my opinion, once they become a couple. And so this is a great moment for that too.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you get two for one here.
You kind of do. So it's very sweet. And it's right at the end of the episode. If you don't care for the episode, that's okay. Just skip to the end and watch this bit.
I mean, the whole last part of it is like the only part of it I really remember and like. So there you go.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right.
It's time for your number one.
Number one moment. All right.
Bring it on, sister.
Okay. This is, I feel like, kind of apropos, because my number one Doggett moment is in the series finale, in The Truth, when he and Reyes are offering to testify for Mulder. And Mulder's trying to be like, y'all, don't. You're never going to get anywhere. There's really no point. But I love how earnest they are. I love how much they just want to help. And it's a nice little wrap-up for them, especially considering I'm still kind of, you know, irked that we didn't really get a proper wrap-up for Doggett, and especially didn't get a proper wrap-up for Monica. But I like to think that this is the way they went out, because even Reyes says, like, we came to this job to give it our best. It's the way we're going to leave. And so the moment that I like is when Mulder is trying to be like, he goes, it's not about how good you are. They control the game. They own it. And I just love Doggett coming in with his Doggett wisdom, just saying, then let's shove it up their ass. Like, it's just so good. And it's a great little like lead in to him doing his best. You know, he's trying to help, but at the end of the day, he can't lie on the oath. And it's almost like at this point Mulder doesn't care, because he knows that whatever they say isn't gonna matter. They're just trying to howl at the moon at this point. But I do love that Doggett, he shows up for him here.
Yeah.
And you know, tangentially Scully, but he's showing up for Mulder here, which is just nice to see. Like you say, we didn't get to see a lot of them. We get to see them kind of slowly building some trust with each other in season 8, the end of season 8. Mulder's gone the entire season 9. He comes back and Doggett is here for him. And I really like that. I think that's a really, it shows what a stand-up guy he is, how far he's come. And at the heart of it all, it's just a great Doggett line. Then let's shove it up their ass. Let's take it.
I love it.
That's my number one.
That is such a great line. I'd forgotten that little moment, actually. So I'm really glad that you reminded me of it, because it's such a great moment. And I do love the fact that Doggett is just, he's ready to, nothing's going to put him off of doing this. He's going to do whatever he can. Mm-hmm. Let's shove it up their ass. Yeah. It's like, that is just perfect Doggett, right? It's just like, I'm not sure exactly what his plan is, but he's going to shove it up their ass.
And then they're going to go watch some NASCAR afterwards and drink some beers. I love it.
It's awesome. It's just, it's a great moment. And it's just one of those moments you want to just go, yeah.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Stand up and cheer. And we probably did stand up and cheer when we were watching
we
this episode.
We did. Yeah. I mean, sadly, it didn't really work, but at the moment it felt really good.
It felt very good. Yeah.
It was, it was a great, that was truly a great Doggett moment. So I think that's an awesome number one.
Well, thank you.
I applaud you and I applaud Doggett.
I applaud him as well. All right, Jen, let's hear it. What's your number one?
Of course, my number one has to be something angsty. It just works out that way. And of course, it has to happen in a hospital because it just works out that way as well.
Yeah.
And it's from This Is Not Happening, which is, I guess, my favorite episode from the Doggett era.
This is all so far very on brand for you.
So on brand for me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the scene where Scully is carrying out the autopsy on Gary's friend. Who's just been found, and she's very broken up about it and really struggling, but she's going to get through it. She needs to do this. She needs to, there's work to be done here, as she says. Even during that scene, Doggett's in the background. He's not saying a thing, but he just looks so freaking stricken by the whole thing and so emotional and so beautiful. But then afterwards, in particular, I like when he's waiting out in the hallway during the autopsy and he's talking to Reyes. And he says, I don't know how she's doing it in there with everything she's feeling, what she's afraid of. And I love that. I mean, it's relatively early in their partnership. But he gets everything that she's going through. And of course, you know, Reyes brings up, you know, because of his son, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's part of it. Sure, it is. But I think also it's just that, you know, Doggett is just a very empathetic, compassionate guy. And to me, that's the first time for me that I really get how deeply Doggett cares about Scully as a person and how much he cares about what she's going through. And this isn't just a job for him, that he cares about her as a person and that he understands her and that he admires her. And it's just really well played by Robert Patrick and really a beautiful little scene. And there's never a time when I love him more than I do in that scene. When we were talking about the idea of doing favorite Doggett moments, that's immediately the scene that popped into my head. And so I thought, well, that's got to be my number one if that's the first thing that pops into my head. And so that's why it is. That's my number one.
You know, it's funny that you say that because that's what happened with me and my number one. I think that was the first thing that jumped to my head, which is why I put that. But this is a really great moment. You're right. I know you mentioned it briefly, but not only that he cares about Scully, but that he respects her ability and can appreciate what she's going through and still doing her job like a badass. Not that he didn't respect her. I think he always respected her from the start, but this is just a great moment to show that. And understanding, like you said, he's sort of projecting a bit, but that's okay. I mean, you would have to in that situation. And yeah, beautiful moment, beautiful scene for Scully too, for Jillian too. But I think anytime, I love when Doggett and Skinner are like discussing how they are concerned about Scully. I mean, and that happens quite a bit. And I don't ever see it as like a condescending, like manly thing. I don't see it that way. I really genuinely see it with these guys as we're protecting our friend. Like we're worried about our friend. And I
agree.
I think that's really well executed here. So great pick.
It's beautifully done. And this is also one of those Doggett Reyes conversations that I really enjoy as well, that they have this. It's one of the first times we see them together, I think. And they have they just right from the beginning have this very sort of lovely friendship chemistry of sort of mutual caring and mutual understanding. And I love it for that reason too.
Yeah. I thought it was a cool thing to have them have like a little bit of a past. Like they have this sort of shared, I mean, almost like a trauma experience that they went through together and still have not quite recovered from.
That's
a really nice dynamic that they continued that all the way through the end of season 9, which I think is really good.
And the way that it's written and then the way that they play it, you really believe it. Yeah. I really believe that they have this past. It's very clear exactly, like you say, the trauma of it. It's very clear exactly what effect it had on them and on their relationship. And it makes it all the more interesting for it.
Yep. Wow.
Lovely.
Well, that was a lot of fun, Jen. I wasn't sure how long that we were going to be able to go on and talk about Dogged, but look at us. We went over 2 hours. We can really prattle on about basically anything.
I don't know if we're capable of doing less than 2 hours about most things. It's a challenge. It would be a challenge for us. We have too much fun talking about these guys.
I really, really enjoyed giving Dogged his due. And you know what? We will definitely do a Reyes episode 2 coming up. I will start my thinking about that. Put my thinking cap on and start thinking about my Monica moments.
Nice.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And please, if we missed your favorite Dogged moment, or if you share any of ours or wanted to chime in, please tweet at us at XFD Podcast. We're always happy to hear from you. And we will be back with you in a couple weeks with another episode of X-Files Diaries.